This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring.
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's croon tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy. Dre. Biggie, Huffman,
and Andy,
Coolio, the whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they gonna sing it again? She bangs, she bop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name is...
PFW in Progress.
All right, am I on? Gary says I'm on. We got all kinds of pizza here. Right off the bat, we got a big shout out to who? Tony Donato
best
came
ever.
Through big. Not only did he send us pizza and wings, he got the sandwich order for Tom, and he got the food here at around 11:30 so we could eat it before
three
the show
pizzas.
Started.
What?
Three and three pizzas.
Yeah, above and beyond. This was just outstanding.
So, Tony Donato, if you have a business or whatever you want me to plug right now, let me know. We will plug it, a website that you build.
We have no laws against plugola or payola.
No.
We go right at it.
Tony Donato shoots right up to the top of the PFW in Progress emailer Hall of Fame.
It will retire in his jersey.
It doesn't take much. I'll just feed us, and you're right up there. But what an order. Not only you're feeding us, you're feeding Chris Ferreira upstairs, our webmaster, probably the graphics
probably
people.
Probably the whole shebang.
Yeah, this is really
good. We do join Dick for a little while.
So Tony Donato really came through. Where's Tony from, by the way? I don't know. Anyway, it's big time. Big time come through for Tony. All right. This is PFW in Progress, and Tom.
This way we don't have to beg for food all the show, yeah. So that way, you know, the three people that get really mad about that won't be mad this week.
We should read his email right off the bat.
Yeah, why not? What is it? Which one is it?
8:27 a.m. today.
The one from Tony Donato.
Yeah. I got I don't know which one it is.
It the name is Tony Donato.
It doesn't say. I don't have it.
8 from the top, Fred.
Huh? Oh, here it is. Tony Donato says... I'm sending you to make sure you're aware that I ordered lunch for you for today as I started in my email last week. Since I had to call this order in from Kissimmee, Florida, and I'm not familiar with... Okay, well, we don't need that. But anyway, he says, I do have a topic of which I would like to hear your opinion. As I read other experts concerning the draft, a lot of them have the opinion that after the first 10 top prospects, the remaining 30 or so are really second or third round prospects. If that's the case... What are your thoughts about the Patriots trading down one or both of their number ones for a second-round choice and hopefully number one or two for next year's draft?
I think that's a very good possibility.
Actually, anything Tony says today is a good possibility.
That's true. But when you look at the top prospects, I'm not even so sure that the quarterbacks are that great. I mean, I think there's only like four or five top.
We love Landry.
Landry.
Gaines Adams. Calvin Johnson probably at the top.
Yep. Adrian Peterson.
Peterson.
And I still put Branch from Michigan.
What about Joe Thomas?
Joe Thomas should probably put him in there. Yes. Very good, Fred.
Six, maybe seven.
Okay.
Real, but he's right because I've been doing the positional breakdowns, and you look at guys who are going like where the Patriots are going to select, then you look at guys who are going in the third round area, like at receiver and defensive back. And there's very little separating them. Very little.
Right. And so you're saying that's less an indication of depth and more an indication of drop off in the early rounds.
Yeah, especially near the top. You know, like at the top of the first round.
Yeah.
Once you get where the Patriots are picking, that's why I think they could go in a number of different directions. But I do think a trade down could be likely to pick up maybe a future first rounder.
Yeah, and that way you can get a guy. You know, somewhere in the middle of the second round. Now, I understand the Patriots don't have a second round pick, but if you trade down, you're going to more than likely acquire one. you can get a guy there that's probably as valuable as a guy you're going to get at 24 or 28. I mean, there's probably very little difference between 20, say 25 and, you know, 50 or so at this stage of the draft. I think that's what people are kind of getting at. And, you know, I think if you could do that and acquire maybe some extra picks in that second round, I think that's a pretty important round not to have a pick in.
Yeah.
The second round.
And to back up what Paul's saying, say they take David Harris, the linebacker from Michigan, at 28. But instead of taking him, they trade down into the second round and take Brandon Seiler from Florida.
That's not
a big difference. And plus, you're picking up
And you're picking
picks.
Something up.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's a definite possibility.
That's a great practical application of what Tony's talking about.
That opening segment was, you know, like in some movies, they have some action, then they do the credits. Well, that's what we just did, because now I'll say that Tom is here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Gary's in the booth, but Andy's out because on Friday he had his first child, Action Jackson.
Yeah,
congratulations, we're not kidding. Andy actually had a child.
Jackson Hart. So,
which means a lot of food left over.
Congratulations to Andy. And Paul, of course, you had yours the week before.
Yep.
Thomas Joseph. And
Thomas John.
Thomas John.
That's okay. My mother got it wrong.
Tommy too. John.
Tommy John
it's
surgery.
It's a J-O-H-N?
Yeah.
And it's not Jonathan?
No.
Just J-O-H-N.
Jonathan! No, it's not.
See, now look at that, Fred. I've only worked here 2 years. He's already naming his kids after me.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the kind of influence I have.
I did try to think of the happiest person that I know on this planet, and I came up with Tom Casale.
And then you came up with the opposite.
I'm going to name him after Tom.
Although I did get, at the wedding I was at this weekend, more compliments of how much fun I am and what a nice guy I am when I'm drunk. So I'm actually thinking about just showing up to work drunk.
You are one of those happy drunks.
I told you that at the AFC Championship.
But see, Tom, that's a good indication, though, that really you are a happy guy. You have this gruff exterior and miserable, but when you're drunk, the real you comes out. So really, you're a fun-loving, happy guy.
I'm not really miserable.
No.
I just
here around us?
Sometimes.
He just doesn't want people to bother him.
You're exactly right.
And when you're gruff and miserable, people don't bother you.
Well, I like to kind of keep to myself, too, but I think I'd like to think I do it in a little bit more of a pleasant manner than Tom does.
Well, you keep to yourself by being on every media program you can be on.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about on my own time.
I know. Only kidding.
Jeez.
All right.
I thought you would have a comment that I actually did my TV.
Oh, Andy's not here. I got to pick up the slack.
Well, I thought you'd have to Andy. We're going to have to pick up his snide remarks throughout the show.
No question. I'm sure they'll all be directed at me because that's what Andy does. But I thought you'd have a comment that I actually fulfilled my TV obligation in the week that I was off. Last week.
I didn't know.
That was on Mohegan Sun last Thursday night.
Is that right?
During the week that I was off.
Good.
I did not, however, do my radio. Obligation. That
okay.
Week.
You've got to draw the line somewhere.
All right, webradio at patriots.com.
The only reason
is
because I do the Cheesecake Factory after the show and my wife wanted to eat.
Webradio at patriots.com. And got a lot of emails in here waiting to be read and talked about. But, you know, let's get into some Patriots news first. Of course, there was a signing last night or yesterday or this morning, depending on who you read. Of course, Mike Reese had it first, right?
No, that would be wrong.
No?
That would be Adam Schefter of NFL
Network. Adam Schefter had it. Okay.
And John Clayton, I believe, on ESPN.com.
Tell us what you think about this cornerback.
I don't love him. Like, last year, Warfield came in, and I thought he just totally stunk. I think James is better than that, but he's, in my opinion, like we were talking upstairs, a poor man's Terrell Buckley. You'll look at his interception total and you'll say, well, that's pretty impressive. But he takes a lot of gambles, and which you don't see in those totals or the times he gets beat. As a third corner, I don't think it's a miserable signing. But if people are expecting this to be some kind of security blanket for Asante Samuel, I don't think that's the case.
I agree with Tom in that regard. As long as we're not painting this out to be some sort of insurance policy,
then
I think it's a great signing. I really do. I think that they've shown over the last couple of years that you cannot, just simply cannot have enough cover guys, enough defensive backs. They've
this
lost
league, you have to have them.
So if you bring this guy in and you want him to be in the mix with Randall Gay and Chad Scott and be, you know, third, fourth, fifth guy, you know, sub packages, I think this is a great signing. But I think if you're going to ask him to go out there and play every down and be a starting corner for you, I don't think he's good enough anymore. You know, from what I've read, he's lost a little bit of a step. And I know he's always had that Riverboat Gamble mentality that Tom just talked about, like Terrell Buckley. And that's not a good every down
combination. He's 31.
No, he's going to be 34.
34.
Well, 34.
This is going to be his 12th season.
34, and I guess they're paying him about $1.3 million this year, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's got incentives that can get it up to 2.7, but yeah, it's, 2.7. I think it's only 1.3 guaranteed, which I thought was a little high.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Paul, you said the word cover guy. See, I'm under the impression, and I think you probably agree, that I think Chad Scott's a safety now at this point in his career.
Yeah, but I'm just I count them all the same.
But
it's corner safeties nowadays.
Really
you have to cover.
But they don't really have a cover guy. James is a cover guy. Like, Chad Scott, I think, is more of a physical-type player. So now at your third corner, at least you got someone who is
I agree with that type guy.
Being a cover guy is like being a lefty pitcher in baseball. Every team needs him.
Yeah,
you know,
I think Chad Scott can be useful, but I think he's a little slow now, and I think he's better suited at safety, where James can come in and play that third corner spot in the slot, which is tough for a guy like Scott who might be a little slower to cover those quicker.
And I think he's a little bigger too.
Yeah.
And you know, just Tom mentioned some of the guys. You know, like he had the comparison of Warfield last year, which I would compare this to Warfield last year because it's a veteran cornerback they go out and they sign. And I agree with Tom that this guy, I think Torrey James, is a better player. And I also would draw the comparison a step further. If you want to say slot guy, cover guy, extra nickelback, dimeback type guy, Ray Mickens handled that role in crunch time last year. I think at this stage, I'd much rather have a guy like Torrey James doing that than Ray Mickens.
So a good signing,
I think.
Other news, Patriots rounded out their wide receiving core by re-signing Kelvin Kite.
That eliminates wide receiver in the draft.
So that's it.
Oh, yeah.
We're all set there.
Is there a wide receiver that has been available this offseason that the Patriots haven't at least inquired about?
I don't know. But, I mean,
I'm not talking about Kelvin Kite. I mean, no. They had Teddy Ginn Jr. was in Foxbury. And I understand that just because a guy comes in to visit doesn't necessarily mean that they're interested. And I know how that works. Okay? But they're seemingly... has been no stone been left unturned when it comes to wide receivers. Can we just put it to rest that they were happy last year with the situation?
That they were not happy.
Yeah.
You mean.
No, yeah, yeah. You know, there's people that
yeah.
continue
oh,
to
I
try
see.
To sing
right.
the praises that it was all part of the plan no. and it was a great trade.
There's no way they were happy last year.
I mean, they have gone after every viable alternative in free agency or otherwise.
Last year did not work out the way they had planned.
No, but
they are doing everything they can to make sure that there's no repeat of that.
If Ted Ginn's on the board at 24, I'll drive down to Columbus myself to pick him up.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's just a... That,
does he have the toughness to play in the NFL?
Yeah, he goes over the middle quite a bit.
Yeah.
He needs to add a little weight.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs to add weight. But you're talking about...
That's
at
a
first,
rare speed.
Yeah, at first you got a deep threat and an amazing return man. And then you build up his get him a little stronger, teach him a little bit of better route running, and you can have a premier NFL receiver. So I think at worst, you get one of the top three return men in the league at worst.
Yeah.
And then he has a chance to become a very good receiver, too. And with his kind of talent, at 24, if they're picking on value, it's going to be tough to pass up Ted Ginn Jr.
All right, going back a little bit last week, during the show, I guess they announced the schedule,
yeah.
and you guys were able to review it. Any thoughts now that you've been able to digest the schedule a little bit, whether it's the Patriots, schedule or other teams?
Well, the Colts have, just a murderous schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, before the Patriots, they play at Jacksonville, at Carolina. Then they got the Patriots. Then they got the Chargers. I mean, that four-game span right there is just murderous. And, you know, they have Tennessee.
Yeah, but don't you think Jacksonville is going to be a little down this year?
No, but I'm talking about...
I just the way they finish.
I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just
asking
why you think that.
They're a physical team, Fred. They're a physical team. So even if they stink, they're going to beat you up.
Yeah,
a
but
bit.
I think Del Rio's starting to be lost a little.
They have the Titans twice, who are an up and coming team.
Well, that team I think is on the rise.
And they have Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot of tough games. Yeah. A lot of tough because they play the NFC South with New Orleans and.
Carolina,
and Tampa Bay. If they get a quarterback, they could be back in the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, you play Denver, you play the Chargers, you play the Patriots.
No, they should have a tough schedule.
That's a tough schedule.
Yeah, and I think the Patriots' schedule is pretty tough, too. Although, as you were saying, Paul, the way it
lays out
is in the Patriots'
as good
favor.
As you could. I mean, obviously we knew it was going to be a tough schedule because we already knew the opponents. And there's nothing easy about virtually every road game is losable. I mean, they don't have any Green Bays.
Right.
On the road, like last year.
Right.
You know, that, you know, you don't really see any scenario in which they're going to lose that game.
But
the way it all unfolds, the last 7 weeks, Tom actually pointed this out to me when I got back. The last 7 weeks, they have 4 home games and 3 road games, and the 3 road games are all within an hour flight. That's amazing.
Yeah, you can't. But like you said, the Green Bays, like this year's Green Bays are like Washington. Even Washington has talent. You know, like they have some talent on that team. You wouldn't be shocked if Washington beats any team on a Sunday. When we were like in Green Bay in Minnesota and we saw those teams on the field, it took us about 2 minutes to think, these teams got no shot.
Right. In Minnesota, we were deceived going into the game because they gotten off to a good start. But Green Bay, I mean, that I don't care what they finished with a record.
That was one of the worst teams.
Yeah, and look, I watched the Patriots win. Was it 20? Forgive me. Is it 22 in a row with the record?
21.
Okay, I watched them win 21 games in a row. I didn't see them win very many in that 21-game streak in the manner in which they won that game in Green Bay.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, I didn't see them outclass every team along, really any team, the way they did that one.
Right.
And the difference
they didn't belong on the field, Green Bay.
The difference is the NFC East. Whoever's good and whoever's bad in that conference this year, all four of those teams have talent. So they're going to be a tough fight no matter what Sunday.
Speaking of the NFC East, if there's any question of whether the league still believes that the Cowboys are America's team, I think it was answered this year. They still believe the Cowboys are America's team. I'm sure the schedule,
they had the 3 highest television ratings last
year. I think they also want to help them with their, you know, selling of their new stadium and all that stuff. But
it's good for a team like the Cowboys to be good. Like, for instance, the Raiders.
It's like Notre Dame at football.
But it's bad for the NFL for the Raiders to be this bad. It's not good for Raiders
you're
have
absolutely
a
right.
following, and for them to be this laughable, it's not good for the league. So if the Raiders got good again, the league would try to get them on prime time a lot, too, because it's good for the league.
And, you know, that bears out because I just came back from the business meetings.
You should tell us a little bit about those.
Well, for the first time, ever since the internet, they actually had not only the rankings of where each team was as far as unique users, and this is like Nielsen ratings, so it's not accurate, but it's apples to apples, but they named what the teams are. Usually they say, okay, there's X amount of teams in the top quartile, and then they tell you privately that you were one of those teams. But this year they had on the big screen who was number one, who was number 32.
Who was number one?
Number one was Dallas. Number one was Dallas.
And that's for, like, website?
That was 2006.
Activity?
Just unique people, unique users that come to their site, average on a daily basis. Dallas was number one.
See, Tom, you got to calm down. You got to get them out of there.
You got to look out for number
one. Yeah. Half of those visits come from Tom.
He goes from a different computer all the time, so he's always registering as a unique user.
I don't know if you know this, but team websites other than the Patriots are pretty much useless.
Number two, what do you think?
Us.
No.
Number two?
Miami.
We were number six.
Washington.
Just so that to let you know.
Washington
Miami.
Redskins?
Nope.
Pittsburgh. Green Bay.
Pittsburgh was number two, mostly because of January, February 06. They had the big boost.
That's still my theory. The Cowboys and the Steelers. They have so many fans from the 70s.
Number three, believe it or not, I believe it was Oakland.
And I'm very surprised by that.
Well, so was I, but there you go. Win or lose,
they have a huge fan base.
You know?
Was Washington up there?
Washington was not.
I figured they would be.
So would I, but they weren't.
Dolphins?
Dolphins weren't in the top 10.
That might be because their website was so bad until they changed.
For so long.
See, I don't
think the Dolphins... Actually, you know, number three was Green Bay, which, again, small market, but
a huge
following,
whereas Miami doesn't have that.
Yeah.
We've seen games down in Miami, Fred, when the Patriots down there, they're not even sold out.
It was, so Green Bay was number three. Number four was Oakland. I forget who number five was, and we were number six.
So six is solid,
Giants were like 10. Jets, believe it or not, were like 28. Which
have you ever been to their website?
Well,
worst in the league.
Well, they were freaking out because the woman who's in charge of this website was freaking out because I guess they showed that same chart last month in the owners' meeting. So immediately after the meeting, the owner went to this woman who's in charge of the site and said, you know, we just invested all this money to redesign our site. We're number 28. And she didn't know what to say. It's a little bit deceptive because it's kind of like Nielsen where it's just a sampling.
Hard. Yeah, it's hard.
And, you know, different sites are organized different ways.
How about the Bengals?
Bengals were...
Because he breaks a lot of news and stuff on
Yeah, they
he?
Were probably middle of the
I know
pack.
They don't have a huge following.
They don't have, if he worked for a team like, you know, Dallas or us, I think that they would be light years ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dallas likes to break
news.
Yeah,
they'll
they got this guy, Mickey Spagnola, who...
and
kind
Eatman,
of breaks their
Nick
news.
Nick Eatman is. Those are like big time writers in the Dallas area that they have for their site. So,
but I thought that was interesting, and you know, of course. Like I said, first time that they ever named names, and so, I think it put a lot of people on the spot.
Was that a source of pride for us then?
Number six.
Fred wants better.
We should never be satisfied until we're one.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what 07 was like, because in 06 we got bumped out in Denver, so half of January we lost. This year, you know, we made it one step away from the Super Bowl, so 07, I'd like to see if we moved up a little bit. Now, I would imagine Indy, which was middle of the pack in 06, moved up in this year because they got the boost in January and February this year. But you know, it's interesting. It's got a lot to do with wins and losses.
Who'd you say
was
last?
But I think more it has to do with your fan base.
Who'd you say was last?
Oh, last, I can't remember who.
Jacksonville.
I think it was Jacksonville.
The Florida teams don't have a big following
because
there's all transplants.
Especially Jacksonville. Yeah.
There's not as many Florida natives.
Yeah. You know, so I think Jacksonville was
it's a small
last.
Market in a state that's not really rabid about pro sports. They're all college areas.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's interesting what's going on. You know, in case anyone is interested that's listening, and maybe you are because you're kind of internet savvy, this year the NFL is taking all their .com operations in-house. Up to now, like for the last 5 years, CBS Sportsline took care of everything for the NFL. You know, you go to NFL.com, and the content was run by the NFL, but all the infrastructure and all that stuff was done by CBS. Now it's going to be all in-house. So you're going to see some changes coming up this season on NFL.com and going forward. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think it is, and I think it's been 5 years?
Yeah, pretty much CBS Sportsline deal.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So before that even, when you guys first really started to incorporate all this stuff, and by you guys, I mean you and the Crafts, when you kind of first started to do it was so new and not too many people, I don't think, really understood how they could best maximize it.
Right. Well, now the money.
Now you're starting to see it.
Now money is going from print advertising to the web. You know, they're seeing that. And now the big thing is ad networks. You know, you saw all the biggest newspapers yesterday, big announcement in McClatchy and a bunch of other newspapers. Like 70% of the newspapers now are teaming up with Yahoo.com to create this huge ad network online. So that's the way it's going. You know, we have to look at PFW down the road and see what changes we need to make.
Yep.
Knock on wood right now, things are good, but who knows, you know?
Well, like you said, so much of this is generated by wins and losses, and we've been very fortunate for a sustained period now that the wins have been there, and
that's
that obviously
right.
helps our bottom line.
That's right.
When you say changes that we need to make, should I start adding more lies to my resume to beef it up a little bit?
Oh, you can never.
Yeah, Nick's rule.
You can never get hurt by that because not enough people are looking at you to uncover those lies, so, you know. Just keep lying.
That's what George O'Leary thought.
Yes, I was just going to say the guy, the Georgia Tech guy.
Well,
right?
If I was George O'Leary, I probably would clean it up a little bit.
All right. And some other news, of course. Now, when did Drew Bledsoe retire? Friday? Last Friday?
I don't know, last week sometime.
Tom, I mean, Paul, you want to give your official word on that?
I'm very pleased.
You're pleased that he retired?
And as I've told you for a while now, I was hoping that instead of trying to just hook on with another team and being another Vinny Testaverde and just trying to, like, squeeze another year. He had a good career. Not a great career, a good career. And there's nothing. What else does he have left to do?
He could do was take more of a pounding.
It was an understated retirement. It was an email sent out by his agent on behalf
of him. Which I also think is great.
Yep.
I read a story from Todd Archer on the Dallas Morning News, I believe. And I know Todd a little bit because he actually grew up around here. As they say, we cut our teeth together, Fred, because he was a young intern at the Globe when I was interning at the Herald. We did a lot of high school games together. Of course, this is where Andy would insert the one that was left behind line because I'm still here. and Todd is covering the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News. But so I know him pretty well, and he wrote a nice piece about Drew and saying how that's exactly how you would figure that he would have wanted to retire. Not making a big deal, didn't want any fanfare, didn't want any tearful press conferences, lamenting the fact that he had to retire. He has nothing, you know, and Drew had a couple of quotes in the piece saying, you know, look, I have no regrets whatsoever. I had a wonderful time playing a game that I loved, I think he had in his statement. And talking specifically about how New England really embraced him as a young player, those are the reasons why I liked him in the first place.
Would you, if you were him, stay in shape because some team could come calling this year, or would you just say forget it?
Nope. That would be it.
That's it.
If you're asking what I would do, that would be it.
He doesn't seem like the guy who, once he makes up his mind, will go back on it. But you never know.
Look, you don't think, in all seriousness, all honesty here, without trying to make fun of me, you don't think there's a team out there that could say
they could absolutely could be our starting quarterback? Saying that. That's why I'm saying that.
So he wasn't interested in going to find that team.
Yeah.
He wasn't interested to go and sell services.
Maybe the offer goes up as you get closer to the season and the need arises.
If it's got anything to do with money, then
I would assume that's what it. That's the only way he would come back is if it was.
They would have to knock him out. But the guy,
$2-3 million.
He's a pretty simple guy. Yeah. He's a family-oriented guy.
Right.
Lives, on a big ranch in Montana. What does he need? I mean, how much money does he need?
No. And he's made a lot.
And he's made a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that? That was a 7-year, $49 million contract he signed. His second contract with New England. So his first post-rookie contract was, I think, 7 and 49.
And he got it all.
And he got every dime of it.
Yep.
Okay. It wasn't one of those fake NFL contracts. He fulfilled it.
Yeah.
Then he signed the 10-year deal after that with Belichick, that obviously he didn't get every dime off, but he still
$10 million for the first year.
Got a significant amount.
And then in Buffalo blew him away.
Right. So what does he need? What money could he possibly need?
Patriots Hall of Fame, I think absolutely.
Whatever the highest honor is that they have in the Patriots, with this new Patriots Museum that I was under the impression that we weren't allowed to talk about until it was written about extensively in the Boston Globe recently. I think that I understand that you can't retire everybody's number.
Right.
And if you keep on that path, you're going to run into problems with the league rules and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So no number retirement, but whatever you do to honor
Ring of Honor, whatever.
It's a Ring of Honor, a Hall of Fame, plaque. I don't know what they're going to do in that museum, which is you're instrumental in too, Freddie.
I'm working hard on it.
And I will be part of the committee also, by the way, selecting.
Very good.
Players,
Very good. Which
would be
I will be sitting in the background complaining about everything.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow,
and the fans also will have a say in who gets
in. If you're wondering where I am tomorrow, I'm in an all-day meeting listening to bid proposals from exhibit fabricators.
What exactly would make you think that anybody is wondering what you're going to be doing tomorrow?
No, you guys might.
I haven't seen you in a month.
I know. I'm away.
Freddie's been everywhere. He went from China to London to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
I shouldn't even have called you and just told you I hadn't had the baby yet, and I would have had another week vacation.
Anyway, so Bledsoe's retired. Farinella wrote a piece yesterday afternoon, I guess. Mark Farinella, a local writer, about whether or not he should even be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he kind of made a case both ways.
You could make a case for
based
him
on
being
numbers.
In the
based on
numbers, I don't think he's a
Pro Football
Hall of Famer. And I was on one of my various shows that you make fun of me, Fred. I was asked, and if this was baseball, he'd be in because he has the requisite numbers are there to get in. And no one in baseball that has those numbers that's not tainted by the steroid brush.
Right.
Everybody gets in the baseball.
So for a quarterback, 40,000 yards passing is like 3,000 hits?
Sure.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think there's less people in football that have 40,000 yards passing than there are 3,000 hits in baseball. It's a little bit different because the error of passing, is not nearly as long as the error of baseball. But just because he has the number, he's not a Hall of Famer. It's one of those things, and you always talk about it, Fred. You're very tough when you talk about dynasties. You're very tough when you talk about Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You have to. You don't necessarily have a definition for it, but it's the whole pornography thing. You know it.
You know
when you
it when you see it.
When you see a guy who's transcendent, there should be no argument. Well, if a guy is a Hall of Famer, there should be no seven guys that four think he is and three think he isn't. If that's the case, shouldn't be in.
That's right. And your guy, who kind of made you in the radio, you cut your teeth with him, Teddy Sarandis, he was that way with the term great. And he believed that the word great in sports was bandied about just too often. Too liberal. Not everyone's great. And to be great, you got to know it. It can't be
Tom Brady.
Can't be a debate.
Tom Brady is a transcendent player. We're watching greatness.
Yeah.
Okay? You're seeing the difference between good in Bledsoe and great in Brady.
Right.
You're seeing it right in front of you here in New England. You're very, very fortunate to have two high-level quarterbacks and see the difference between good and great, in my opinion. Now, of course, that opens myself up for all the punchlines. Well, Bledsoe wasn't good to begin with. He sucks. Well, no. Brady's just that much better.
Yeah.
That's how special Brady is, in my opinion.
I mean, and that's another thing. Emailers, throughout the show, anyone else currently playing you think fits that category of great? And we're going to be very tough, but there are probably other players in the league right now who are great.
There's a few I would say that are great.
Let's see what people think as we go through the show.
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
Not one of those players. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to take a break now. Gary, we'll be right back.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points. Because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. International superstar and soccer icon David Beckham is the newest member of Major League Soccer and will bring his world-class skills to Foxborough August 12th against your New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium. Get your tickets to this must-see event as part of the David Beckham 4-Pack. The 4-Pack includes the Revs home opener doubleheader on April 14th against Toronto FC and the U.S. Women's National Team FIFA World Cup tune-up against Mexico. Freddie Adu and his new team Real Salt Lake on June 2nd. A nationally televised match against the Kansas City Wizards, and the first ever visit of David Beckham to Gillette Stadium with the LA Galaxy on August 12th. The Revs 4-Pack featuring David Beckham. 4 dates, 5 games for just $72 with free parking makes New England Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your David Beckham ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution. When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a letter from Drew Bledsoe to Paul Perillo.
I've grown so much in the past decade, and you have nurtured me and fostered that growth as a person and a player. Quite simply, you helped me learn how people should treat other people, and I thank you for that. Please know that you have made a profound difference in my life and the way I live it. And while I'm excited about my future in Buffalo, I will miss you. Thank you for all you mean to me, and I wish you the very best. Very truly yours, Drew Bledsoe.
What would you rather be called, a or a liar?
And I remember when Paul received that on his voicemail. It was a very teary day.
It was touching. I don't know how I let Gary get a hold of it, but it was a touching day for me.
All right, back here at PFW in progress.
Do you think Brady will leave me something like that someday when he goes?
I don't know.
I don't think I have that same connection with
Tom. Does he know who you are?
Well, come on. Don't be insulting. Of course he does.
I think I have one of those from Bubba Ventrone.
But, yeah, there you go. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Andy's
like
off today because he's spending a week home with his new son, Jackson Hart. And we saw pictures. We're all thanking God that he wasn't born with Andy's head.
Yeah. especially for his wife.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Yeah, and he didn't come out as orange fire water either. So,
I just still can't believe he's a father.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday. He sounded half dead. I guess he spent the whole night up. The kid was crying every 20 minutes.
He sucked that bone dry.
He's not going to make it.
No.
We had a full night last night, my friend.
Who? You?
12:30 to 7. Ooh. He slept.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, good.
It's phenomenal. What, are you kidding
that's
me?
That's great.
See, this is why I said to Allison last night, because I showed her the pictures of Andy's baby, and she said, oh, I want one. And I said, you know why I don't want a kid? Because I can't do what I'm doing right now. Sit.
Yeah.
I love to sit.
I know.
And not move. And you can't do that when you got a kid.
But I guess it changes when you have one, Tom. You'll be all into it.
Am I like normal people?
But it's temporary, too. I mean,
well, it's a
couple
years.
And then they're self-sufficient.
And then it's another set of problems.
Right. It's always a problem. Yeah. You know me. I don't like problems.
Yeah, but you can sit. After a couple of years, you can sit again.
I don't know.
I don't think you ever really sit again after you have a kid.
Yeah. See, Fred says he can't sit, but he wouldn't want to sit anyway. He can't sit still. He has a hard time doing this show.
Oh, my God. I when I crash hard. All right, let's get into the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Speaking of Drew Bledsoe, Kevin from Millis says, I'm disturbed that Drew Bledsoe wasn't signed to a one-day deal for the Patriots before his retirement. Why there is no mention of him on the website is disappointing. Before he came here, there was no real big-name quarterback in New England, and he was part of the turnaround up here. He gave the fans hope of a Super Bowl and a lot of great games and memories. I think it's a terrible for him not to retire as a Patriot. It doesn't say much for the class on the Pats organization if this wasn't at least attempted on the Patriots' part to make him a Patriot when he retired.
Well, Paul, before you get into your tirade, let me just say...
I don't have any tirade.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, first of all, those one-day contracts are stupid.
Well, I totally agree with that.
I just think Emmitt Smith can fly to Dallas and retire with Jerry Jones. You know, like I think you just have a press conference if you want. Why do you have to sign one-day contracts? We all know Emmitt Smith is a Cowboy, no matter where he played. We all know Jerry Rice is a 49er, no matter where he played.
Right.
You don't need to sign one-day contracts.
I agree.
And then, second of all, Drew Bledsoe is in those guys' class. So it's not like the whole world is waiting for
how about Otis Smith
to retire.
Otis Smith signed a one-day contract with the Patriots. So let's not put this into the caliber of player.
I'm talking about only like a big press conference, and I think only a select few people really need to do that. You know, the true greats of the game.
Well,
I think Bledsoe did it the way you should. Fax in your retirement. Have someone send in a statement and go live on your ranch.
Well, I think that we did mention it on the website. NFL Films did a little thing for us on his career. I don't know if it was what we would have done if we did it ourselves, but, you know, it was an overall thing in his career. We posted that, and there will be a time, you know, that the Patriots will do something for Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, when you
so don't worry.
That was the one part that he mentioned that I was going to take an exception to. There was we didn't have what did we have on the website?
Right.
He says we didn't have anything on the website.
Yeah, I just said we mentioned that he had retired, and we also had the career
highlights.
Well,
I know you had that career highlight thing because we got criticized for that, too.
Right.
But, you know, see what happens, Tom. I'm gone for a week, and then important things happen.
I'm working on the draft stuff, baby. I can't do everything.
There will come at some point in time and in some way, the Patriots and the Crafts will honor Drew Bledsoe.
I can
guarantee that.
I wholeheartedly agree with Tom, though. I think those one-day contracts are silly, and I'm glad Bledsoe didn't sign one. I think they're stupid.
Yeah. There's
I
no
think
use
it's stupid no matter how great a player.
And by the way, we don't even know if Drew Bledsoe wanted that.
Maybe he
didn't.
You know? Yeah. Maybe he didn't. You know, maybe
Paul said he's a private guy. I mean, he probably just wanted to go home and be left alone.
And even if he did, let's just say he wanted to do it for the Crafts, because I'm sure he has a strong relationship with Robert Kraft still. Maybe he didn't want to do it with Belichick here.
That's right.
You know, maybe if Belichick wasn't the coach anymore, it would have been a different story. Maybe he would have gone to Robert and said, yeah, let's do that.
Right. So
who knows?
And I can guarantee you that Robert Kraft has talked to Drew Bledsoe since he retired.
Can you guarantee that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's get to the next email. This is from Nick. He says, hello to Frank the Tank and his merry men. First off, let me say I need to see some fire out of you guys. And I'm looking at you, Tom. Every week for the last 3 to 4 months, you guys have fielded emails about Lance Briggs. Can you please start screaming at these morons and get them to stop wasting all our time? He doesn't want to play in the 3-4. He won't play for cheap. And the Bears wouldn't trade him for a 6th pick out of spite. 3 strikes conversation over. Not to mention he's not even close to being a need now that we have Thomas. Well, I'm not sure about that last thing.
Well, and you know me, I don't like to degrade anybody, so I'm not going to yell at somebody for sending in an email that we may not agree with. But I agree with you. I just, this whole Landsberg thing. But now it's taken on another life that I can't even stand. Al Wilson. The guy can't walk, and people want us to sign Al Wilson. I'm pretty sure if he was Al Wilson, the Broncos wouldn't have cut him. They couldn't even trade him to the Giants. He couldn't pass a physical. Linebackers with neck problems, they usually don't end up being very productive in your defense.
Yeah, as I wrote yesterday in SPFW, the Briggs thing, first of all, the Washington trade was a swapping of the first-round picks from what I understood, not the sixth pick for Lance Briggs, so that's even less. And first of all, Washington doesn't need another linebacker at all. They've invested a lot of money in linebackers, even though Briggs would be an upgrade over the players they have. There's only so much that you can spend on one position. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Look, I think that Briggs would be a terrific addition to the Patriots. I don't think that Thomas solely fulfills all their linebacker needs. I think they could use another young athletic stud like Lance Briggs, as could most teams. But it will cost a lot. And the 3-4, you know, his lack of desire to play in the 3-4 is relevant. If he really doesn't want to do it, you know, it's kind of a fruitless pursuit.
Let's see. Nick also wants to know what you think about other than character issues, what do you think about Tarrell Brown, the cornerback from Texas?
He's awful. Awful.
Okay.
Awful. One of the top three worst prospects we saw all year. Just terrible. I mean, you look at that secondary, Ross and Griffin, I mean, they're real players. There was a reason why they finished 99th in pass defense, because they kept throwing a Brown side. Terrible.
How about Eric Wright from UNLV, another cornerback?
He's a pretty good player. I think he has a lot of character issues, which concern me.
And he wants
the kid that went to USC?
Yeah, then went to UNLV because he wanted to prove that he could go to a play.
Right.
I don't buy that kind of crappy story. Right. I'm sorry.
He also wants to know about Jonathan Wade from Tennessee.
Oh, we love Wade. Love him.
Wants to know if he has any shot of being there in the fourth round.
Probably third. Have to be the third round. But if they don't go cornerback early, he's the guy that Andy and I like them to target in round three. He's got all the physical tools. Really an underrated player in this draft, I think.
I like, by the way, just as an addition to that, SEC skilled guy, corners and receivers, because it's a passing dominant league, so they have a lot of reps under their belts already.
And you know they're athletes.
Right.
And let's see, a lesser known guy, John Wendling, who's a safety slash cornerback from Wyoming.
He's a pretty good player. We talked to him at the combine. Smart guy. He'd probably be a nice fit in this defense. It's so deep at safety. You got to wonder where he's going to go. And I know a lot of people say third round area. I think that's a bit too high. More of a fourth, fifth round pick, I think.
I guess we'll keep going here. And he asked us about Steve Breeston, a wide receiver from Michigan during the season.
Preston,
where do you think he's going to go now?
I don't think he'll be drafted.
He's not much of a receiver. He's more of a return guy. And he's a little, I don't know. He's a little
tiny.
Small and frail to me.
He's either
a dynamic player. He was a dynamic player in college, but he never really fulfilled what I think they all thought he was going to be, other than as a return man. He was, you know, he's pretty good in that regard.
He would either be a seventh round draft pick or an undrafted free agent type.
Then finally says, here's my free agent idea. Why not take a flyer on Courtney Brown? He can't be worse than Marquise. Sorry, coach, I didn't hear what you said. I was taking a nap on the bench hill. And how much could he possibly cost? If he can stay healthy, I think he'd be a great backup defensive end.
Well, there's the if.
Well, I'll say this. Let's just assume he is healthy. Romeo Crennel went to Cleveland, and one of the first orders of business was getting rid of all the defensive linemen because they didn't fit the system.
Right.
So, evidently, he didn't feel like he was a 3-4 defensive end.
And then finally, Gary, can you pirate the It's So Good When It Hits Your Lips or some of the other Frank the Tank lines and play them over Frank when he talks? Well, if you play them over, then you can't hear the emails. So that's it.
Once it hits your lips, it's so good.
This Frank thing's really taken off. Andy and I were dying last
week. What is it with Frank? Why?
Because one person, one
guy called
you Frank by accident, and then I called you Frank, then these two called you Frank, and then it just started taking off.
So now I'm Frank, but it's not even like a nickname.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
Andy and I couldn't get enough of it last week.
I mean, I don't really care. I never liked the name
and
Fred.
And we weren't
even
egging people on, Fred. They were just writing in, calling you Frank. It had
nothing
to do with us.
But do you think some people think it's a different person?
No, yes. I think that's a joke.
I think there's a few people that think you, either your name is Frank or that it's a different person than the guy that used to be on the show.
Because one person, and I'll get to his email right here, his subject line says, thank God Fred is gone.
I think it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because we got those last week. This new guy, Frank, is really bringing something to the table.
Okay. Well, anyway. Let's see. Got a lot of emails here, guys. A lot of emails. It's incredible. The popularity of this show is...
ever since Fred left.
Okay. Let's see. Next one is from Edwin. From Edwin Hampton from Virginia. I'm not sure if it's Edwin from
it's
Hampton.
Edwin from Hampton, Virginia.
Is it? Oh, he's got, see, he's I got think. Wrong use of commas.
I think.
Why, it says Edwin Hampton,
Edwin
comma?
Hampton, comma, Virginia.
Oh, maybe it is then. I thought it
well,
was from
well,
Hampton,
wouldn't
Virginia.
It be Hampton, comma, Virginia? Isn't that proper?
Well, it would be, but you got to separate the Edwin and the Hampton, too, right? Don't you? So that I'm clear?
I'm pretty sure it would be Edwin.
Yeah.
Edwin from Hampton, Virginia.
Anyway, he thinks that the Pats should use one of their first-round picks to trade down into the second round and pick up David Harris and Aaron Rouse. Then they should use the other pick to get Darrell Revis or Leon Hall. I think that all of these players could come to the Pats, there and be very productive, and it would fulfill some major needs. I know you guys don't like Leon Hall, but if he's available at 28, I think the Pats would take him. I don't think he would be any worse than Asante Samuel his rookie season. And I'm very high on Aaron Rouse. In my opinion, he fits the Patriots prototype of a strong safety better than Reggie Nelson. He reminds me of a bigger, younger, more athletic Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, well, I like Rouse, too. The problem I have with Hall is that he plays off receivers, and he still gets burnt deep. I don't like corners like that. If you're playing, if you're going to give a guy 15 yards, let him catch it 5 yard out in front of you. Don't let him burn you deep. And I just, when you say, well, I know you don't like Hall, but if he's there at 28, I would take, well, if I don't like him, I don't like him. You know, that means I wouldn't take him at 28. Right. I don't think he fits the system well, and I think he's one of the more overrated players going in the first round, in my opinion.
Well, I would kind of disagree with Tom a little bit in that I don't necessarily like where they're saying that Hall is going to go. I don't see that much of a difference between him and Ross and some of the other guys that we're talking about, you know, that makes him, you know, a borderline top 10, top 15 pick, and, you know, other guys like Revis and Ross, like we're talking about, are, you know, borderline first round guys. That's where I don't. So at 28, that's a borderline first round guy. I don't necessarily mind if all the corners are on the board and you think he's the best. I have no problem with that. I do have a little bit of an issue with the logic here. He at worst he would be as good as
Asante Samuel in his rookie season.
Well, Asante Samuel was a fourth round pick.
Right.
So I want my first-round picks to be a little bit better than
that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I understand that once they get into the league, what round they were picked at doesn't really matter anymore. Okay, right. Obviously, they have to find their way to be a player. And right now, you don't look at Asante Samuel as a fourth-round pick. You know, he's a great player because he was a fourth-round pick, whereas maybe he wouldn't be considered as good if he was a first-rounder. You don't look at it that way, but I would want more out of him than a fourth-round pick.
Craig from Boxborough, dear A-Team and the host formerly known as Frank. I like that.
I would say that one. Now, he clearly knows that.
Yeah. I was checking out Tom's mock draft on Patriots.com, and he had the Pats taking Jeff Rowe from Nevada in the seventh round. This prediction made me think about the quarterback situation. Obviously, there is no question who the starter is, and I think we have a pretty decent backup in Castle. Rowe, or whoever else, would probably drop in as a third string project for the future. With that said, when do the Pats start to look at acquiring a quarterback who will work under Brady in order to prepare him to become the starter someday? Okay. Don't get me wrong, Brady is the man.
Damn
but,
right.
But he will have to leave someday via retirement injury or worse off of all possibilities, and in my opinion, least likely free agency. Brady is irreplaceable, but wouldn't it'd be nice for the Pats to have a quarterback ready to keep them contending in the future if something were to happen. Is Castle in position to be that guy, or will it be someone else?
Well, that's going to have to be a couple years down the road, because say you're doing that with Castle, he's going to leave.
Right.
You can't do it when a guy like Brady is this young, because he's still going to be around. If Castle gets offers when he's a free agent to go somewhere else and play, he's going to.
Yeah.
When Brady gets around 32, 33, that's when you start bringing in that young guy.
That is probably the toughest thing for an organization because there's only one quarterback.
Right. Right.
You know, you can't work the guy in. There's no way to work the guy in like you can at other positions.
But the other part of that is I've seen no indication that makes me think that they don't feel that Castle is that guy. And Tom's point is absolutely right. That's what makes it so tough is that he could very well be the guy. They could be grooming him as well as possible, and Castle could be absorbing it all as well as possible. And then 2 years from now, he could be gone as a free agent because he's going to be looking to, you know, to run his own team. Ideally, for a team, it kind of coincides, you know, the guy's kind of heading down the back nine and the new guy is about ready to take over the reins. You know, look what happened to Matt Schaub.
Oh, Jake Plummer.
You know, Matt Schaub in Atlanta. Yeah, it worked out pretty well with Denver because they felt like Plummer was kind of getting to the end and they were able to make room. But Schaub, obviously, they didn't feel like they wanted to turn the page on the Michael Vick era yet, and they lost a good backup quarterback, you know, who they thought was going to be the guy of the future. Because you can't wait around any longer. Hopefully that won't happen with Castle, but I think Tom might be right. I think it probably will.
P.S. says, Craig, Andy, you are right about the Sox not playing the anthem. It sucks.
By the dawn
early. What do you mean the Sox not playing the anthem last
week? Well, they sing God Bless America now.
Andy was on a rampage. The Sox
before the game, they don't play the national anthem?
They haven't.
The first game.
How do we know this?
It was on TV.
It's
definitely. And then they issued a statement, and then Major League Baseball, they don't require teams. You can choose between the two.
Wow. See, I missed
Andy
everything.
Andy was in an uproar.
Andy chooses the oddest things to get in an uproar over. Have you noticed that?
Well, I told him at the beginning of the show last week, I said, just go ahead and get this out of your system now. So he went on for about 5 minutes about how they were communists. And
because they sang God Bless America.
And he got the number and said to call the Red Sox and complain, even though you know he won't do a darn thing.
God Bless America is anti-American. That's what he's claiming?
You said they're communists.
Wow, it's a good thing I wasn't here because we had a really serious, useless argument last week.
America the Beautiful.
America the Beautiful, they sang?
Well, there's another communist song, America the Beautiful.
They should still do the anthem, though.
No, I agree, but it's certainly not anything to lose sleep over.
You think they should do both, Gary?
Yes.
At least the anthem.
Why?
Because it's patriotic and American.
Well, it's more traditional. They're both patriotic and American.
I agree.
Here we go.
You do the anthem before every game.
That's the tradition, yes.
I think Fred's right.
You know, it's traditional. A lot of people like those other songs better.
Then do both.
Okay.
I don't care one way or the other. I only care about football.
Oh, God.
All right.
Easy, Reese.
Philip in Nova Scotia says, congratulations to Paul.
Thank you, Philip.
On the birth of your child, may your home always be blessed with the love and laughter of your children.
I received a couple of very nice emails from John in L.A., Philip.
That is so
Sean McLaughlin.
Gay.
Thank you for those well wishes. I emailed
Two boys.
Them all back.
Two boys.
Yeah, I lucked out, huh?
Yeah.
Girls are a lot of work.
Oh, a lot of work, a lot of worry.
I'll let you know how it turns out when I have them.
When you have like your three girls that you have in one shot.
Tom will have girls.
And you know he's going to have twins or triplets.
Yeah.
You realize another person we know just had a kid and it's a boy. That makes the last nine kids out of people we know all boys. I got no shot. No chance at all.
Well, who else?
Just friends.
Yeah.
Friends of ours have all had boys.
Okay. Let's see. I would have thought Andy would have had a girl too, though.
He's kind of lucky,
you know.
He falls ass backwards into things.
He is pretty lucky, just for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
How many other people do you know that? First of all,
now, do steroids affect the gender of the child at all?
How many other people do you know that leave their job, don't even give 2 weeks' notice,
and while I'm excited about,
then change their mind and they come back?
Well, that was my fault.
You've been paying for it ever since.
Moment of weakness. I thought I could rehabilitate him, but I was wrong.
I kind of like when he's not here to defend himself.
Oh, man. Sean, he's getting everything that's due to him now, not sleeping every night. This is good payback. Sean Smith says he's from Fort Myers. He says, this may sound like a stupid question, but what is Tom Brady's strong points? The fact that he has toughness? Is it that he makes the great passes under pressure? Is it that he throws a great crossing route? Maybe his sideline pass. I'm curious what you guys think that make Tom a great quarterback. I know he goes underneath very well. Just look at his just look at his girlfriends. I am a novice, so your input is appreciated.
I'm also wicked
pocket
handsome.
Presence.
See?
I would say that. It's mental. It's his awareness.
Well, I think if you're going to go for something physical, because he's naming all physical things, I think it's mental is his biggest strength. It's
absolutely
knowing where to go with the ball.
There's guys who are faster, better arms, more accurate, but putting it together in his mind, I don't think anyone does it better than Bledsoe.
I think you're right, Fred.
Yeah.
No, I think if you're going to go something strictly physical, I think it is his ability in the pocket. I think, like Tom says, because I don't necessarily think that's a mental thing. That's a physical thing that's very underrated, is your ability to buy time and move around in the pocket.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a great athlete to do that. Dan Marino was the best I've ever seen at it,
yep.
And he couldn't run from here to there without falling down.
And seeing the field. I mean, he just
– Seeing the field. That's a physical thing to me.
On that America's game, they show the touchdown pass to Givens in the Super Bowl where that was like his fourth read, and he just stands in the pocket, and he's buying like an extra second, and boom, right before he
gets when you see that initial play from the regular, you know, the traditional sideline camera when they're showing the play, and you see him throw it, he basically just throws it out wide. Doesn't it look like he's just throwing the ball away? I mean, when I watched that play live, I was stunned that there was a guy there wide open to catch that pass.
Yeah.
I just thought he was throwing it away.
No, that's his greatness. Jonas writes in, and the subject says, Wild Bills and Marv Levy's Dead Man's Hand. He says, maybe the Patriots' success in Buffalo is because Brady has learned to love the peak in the field. Just a thought. That's all he has to say. That's all Jonas wants to say.
Maybe, or maybe it's because the Bills stink.
Well, remember that
they also got rid of the field that had the big crown.
Yeah, that goes back to Brady's first loss in Buffalo, and he said that the crown of the field was a little high.
It wasn't even a loss, by the way. They won the game.
Did they win that game?
But he played poorly.
Okay. It was a high peak at one point, but you don't say that. You don't say that.
It was one of the funnier moments, I thought, of the 2001 season when he was talking about the crown in the field.
Tom from Nottingham, England, writes in. He says, Tom for president, Paul for first lady. First off, your new boss, Frank, is brilliant. He's much better.
That's even funnier.
He's much better than Mr. Patriot Fred. Tom, saw you on Patriots today. You sat next to B-Lo, and
boring.
Dude, you are built like a house. When were you on Patriots today?
I'm doing a draft thing for him.
Four days in a row we had to go down there and do it. Remember when he kept coming in with all those fancy
last
shirts?
Last week somebody called me fat. I mean, I'm on a diet. I thought it was looking good, and he goes and calls me fat.
You're not looking all that good.
Andy, keep Irish bashing. It's great radio. And as an Englishman, everything you say is 100% accurate. And Paul, well, keep trying. You'll be good at something soon. In fact, Gary could do your job and save Frank some money.
Wow.
That's a rocket shot.
Wow. Down to some football. Maybe this was sent by Andy, actually.
Who is this that said this?
Tom in Nottingham, England.
I'm not as clever as Andy to come up with the quippy little, go have another beer, you drunk.
Drink some tea. I am really a big David Thomas fan and thought when he was on the field last season he looked really strong. Is he likely to play the third tight end now Brady has come in, or will he see a lot more playing time? Oh, now Kyle Brady has come in. What do you think about him?
Well, I think he'll see more playing time.
I think he will be number three.
As a receiver.
Who, Kyle Brady?
I think Kyle Brady will be the number three receiver.
Yeah, I do too. I think
he can't catch, right?
I think that he is the – he might be – See, it's one of those things that you put numbers, and you know how the Patriots don't like to put numbers, and this is why. I think Brady might be on the field a lot because in their two tight end set, you know, when you, like, let's say on first down, you have a two tight end set. You don't have necessarily two receiving threats. You just have your best combination for a run, you know, for a run or a pass.
Right.
And I think Brady might be out there, but I think Thomas is going to be the second tight end in terms of what we think of more traditional tight end roles, catching the ball.
Brady will probably average a catch a game.
I don't think he'll average that.
Oh, I think he might. I mean, finish the season with 16 catches or 10?
I think he'd be hard-pressed to get that much.
Really? Okay.
He'll be struggling to get 15 catches.
I'll tell you this. Brady. I could see him catching a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
A la Christian Fourier.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll have that very many receptions.
Tom also says that last week you said that number 12 is likely to be the next number retired by the team. Is number 80 unlikely then? Personally thought Brown has done great things for this team and should receive some recognition.
If I was in charge, that wouldn't even get consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, Troy Brown is a good player that helped your organization. I can name you 100 of those guys. Seriously.
If they ever retire a number again,
it's
the only guy to be considered right now is Tom Brady. Now, will Troy Brown get into the Hall of Fame or some type of recognition? Absolutely. Again, he's done. They will honor him in some
but
way.
Numbers are,
but
for
not
guys,
to the level of a Tom Brady.
Right, that's a Dan Marino. That's a
right.
Tom Brady. A Brett Favre.
John Elway.
Yeah, I agree.
Special players.
What I think that, and when we talked about these things in the meetings that we had with the museum to get back to that stuff, I think if you want to make a cutoff point, make it the Pro Football Hall of Fame. John Hann is number 73. Mike Haynes is number 40. Tom Brady is number 12 someday.
Right.
Those are the numbers that you retire.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You can't cheapen it by having, no disrespect intended, you can't cheapen it by having 54 or 80 because
right.
they were good players, you know, and some at times great players.
Right.
But then
for
you
teams,
could argue
for teams that won a lot of games.
Right.
The problem is that the numbers that you already have retired, you can't, my suggestion would be to unretire them. But I don't think that they'll do that because I don't want, you know, it's hard to explain the PR hit that you take. But that's what I would do. I would bite the bullet.
It
gives you some bad press for a month,
but
and then
it goes
away.
There's sound reasoning to it.
There's very sound reasoning to it. And then it goes away and no one remembers 10 years from now.
Right. I guess last week you guys were talking about or wondering how they watch NFL in England. Was that a subject?
Why were you guys talking about that?
I wasn't wondering about that. No,
Tom in Nottingham was wondering as he had his thumb up his butt.
Oh.
Someone was asking if you can watch games online.
He says that in England they watch the NFL on Sky Sports, which shows four games every Sunday in all the playoffs, including the Super Bowl, and Channel 5, which shows Sunday and Monday night games. So there you go. They actually get more games on TV every week than we do.
I know.
keep it up. You're making the off-season great. When I move over to the States in September, I shall try and reward you guys with food because you deserve it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Even Paul likes you now. What's that, Gary? Were you going to say something, Gary? No?
Thorea was on the highlights. You missed him.
All right, getting back to some emails. Let's see. DG writes in. Doug from Blackstone. After watching that clip on Drew's career, I'm a little pissed. Seemed like they just kept going back to the fact that Drew kept getting replaced by younger players. We all know that, but that's part of the game.
You were horrible.
They should have showed more of the great highlights of his career and mentioned the fact that the New England Patriots were on the way out of town before Drew Bledsoe and Parcells saved the franchise.
I was really good in junior high, too.
It just seemed like more of a slap in the face than a tribute to a great player. Please let me know what you thought of the clip. And P.S. congrats to Paul on the birth of his child and Frank with his new caddy in full pimp daddy status. You guys talking about my new car?
Jump my butt.
Yeah. Well, who do you think was?
Andy.
One trick pony.
Fred went from Fred's
got a new
caddy.
Fred got a new car.
Was he embezzling?
He's rich.
You saw the car, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Nice. Yeah.
It's I tell you, it's a big difference from the
I'm sure.
from the Spartan Jeep.
The Spartan Jeep had seen better days.
Fred thinks that we're shocked that there's a big difference between a Jeep with 170,000 miles and a new Cadillac.
Well, I had some car issues over the week.
Oh, yeah?
My wife's car had a 40,000 miles, not even 4 years old. Had to do regular service that we took it in for, and they said the last time, the next service that you get, you should probably get the brake pads done.
That was
so
really interesting.
I told them to do the brake pads. Long story short, $1,500 later, they found all this stuff. Now, thankfully,
all to do with the brakes?
No.
Oh.
No, they find. Well, they do a whole workup of the whole thing when you go to the dealer. And we had the warranty, so the vast majority of the work, the only thing that I had to pay for were the brakes.
Right.
All of this, a tie rod, gasket, the compressor and the air conditioner, they had an issue with that. It was ridiculous. And I just thought,
boring.
It was
covered, though,
right? Yeah, it was all covered, but I said to him, why is my Accord that I have 200,000 miles on doesn't have any of these issues, and the Pilot that has 40,000 miles and gets very light driving have all of this? No answer.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It just happens. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Next topic.
Shut up, Gary.
I'm crossing my fingers at this thing because this is a used Cadillac. It's not a new one, in case anyone's interested.
Pre-owned.
Well, I call them used, you know.
Did you guys see that home run that Willie Moe hit last night?
Was it a big one?
Oh, boy.
Yeah?
Yeah, up around the hotel, over the hotel in center field.
I haven't watched a game yet, but I still know enough.
You- You're such a fraud.
I watched a couple innings.
He's telling
me a couple innings.
He's telling me yesterday that that Dice K's problem is that he has his
pattern. It's not a problem. It's something to worry about.
They're able to read his patterns of his pitches, and they've picked up on it, and that's why he was having trouble against
Seattle.
No disrespect to the
Oriental.
I said he will have trouble.
And then he comes out and says, I haven't seen a game yet.
Hasn't he only given up 5 runs?
No, but he likes with the fastballs early, get up in the count, and then he goes with the big breaking stuff. But I think guys will catch up on
that. So Fred is figuring him out.
6 runs he's given up in 3 starts.
You know, it's the second time around that they catch up on. Okay.
Plus, he hasn't seen any of those starts.
I saw some innings. I told you that.
You haven't seen any games. You just didn't.
When I was in Philly, I watched them Wednesday night, I think.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap.
Bob Lay writes in. I'm assuming it's not the guy from ESPN, but it could be. He says, can't read a loyal listener's email anymore.
Can't what?
Read a loyal listener's email anymore. I guess he wrote and we didn't read it.
Well, that's I can't confirm nor deny based on the
Bob, we get a
idiot,
lot of
the idiot
emails.
Patrol that was at the helm last week.
If they come in like when I host, if they came in like after the show the previous week, we can't get to them all. We have to align somewhere.
Anyway, he says, I'll let it slide because I love the show. Anyway, it's been a crazy few weeks of Patriots news. Samuel wants out for the moment, and Tom is playing Tecmo Bowl. Do the Patriots have the money to give him for a moderately good deal after our spending spree? I know you guys don't know for sure, but let's just guess. And why are fans picking on Tom Brady, and what's he doing in his own offseason just because he's dating that sexy giant Giselle and has a kid on the way?
I like your boobs.
The best quarterback in the league will be ready when the season starts to lead the Pats to a Super Bowl run. I hope so. I believe you will.
Has Brady been getting some criticism?
I think we brought up the... Well, he wasn't... I don't know. I can't.
Damn right!
From let me rephrase that. Were you and Andy criticizing Brady last week?
No.
Was Andy?
I don't think so. I don't think we were criticizing him at all. I think we might have just brought the question to the people.
Maybe like, other people were.
Like, what do you think about Brady not
right.
being...
Because like, I have no problem with that at all. I have no worries about his offseason.
I think the more the guy can be comfortable in his own life and feel, you know, relaxed and do things that make him happy, the better. Better he's going to play.
You know what? We got an email last week that slammed Tom Brady because I remember Andy saying, wow. So there was an emailer who came slamming Tom
Brady. The only thing I would say, and this is not really... This is a personal opinion and... From afar, not knowing any of the details, I find it a little bit odd that he went to Africa to do all that while his he's 3 months away from having a child of his own that he should be more concerned about. But look, I'm not here to tell someone else how to live his personal life and to each his own. That I mean, me personally, I wouldn't be in Africa. I'd probably be trying to help the woman that's going to have my child in 3 months. That's just me. I'm crazy like that. You know?
Okay.
But it has nothing to do with football. I don't worry about his football.
How would he help her?
Offseason. Fred, come on.
But you don't think she has a pretty good support system being a millionaire?
Doesn't have the father.
I know, but what is he going to do now? I mean, once the kid's born, I would think he needs to do some stuff, but the kid's not born yet.
I don't know. I think there's plenty that he could be doing
like
to
what?
Help.
Buying what?
I don't know. His
picking out the color
about,
for the baby?
But this isn't about finances.
No, I'm just saying, what could he do?
I mean, if you think everything is just... You know, all roses if you have the money to
support
it. No,
I'm saying besides, you know, money, what would he be doing now?
I don't know. Who's taking, you know, is anybody, you know, taking any classes or anything? Or is she dealing? I don't know how she's planning on having the child.
You mean like Lamaze classes?
Anything. Any kind of birthing classes? Or is there a plan in place? Or is there anybody, where are they going to live? I mean, are any of these things being discussed? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either, but I would imagine she's, I mean, we saw a picture of her today in the Herald. She looked pretty happy to me.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's not an issue then because she looked happy
in
the paparazzi
picture. I don't know what he would be doing. I think once the baby's born, that's a different issue. He needs to be a father.
And then the season's going to be here and he's not going to be able to be there.
Well, I don't know. Arrangements have to be made, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's just my only, like I said, that's my only comment. I'm not, this
Let
is
me
not,
ask you
this
a question.
Is not a criticism, but before I get killed for this, this is not a criticism of Tom because how he chooses to do it is his business. I'm telling you how I would do it if it was me.
Considering the situation, you know, they broke up, and I don't know how ugly it was or if it was a nice breakup or whatever, would you be there in the delivery room when the kid was being born, if you're Tom Brady?
If the woman wanted me to be, yes.
Okay. You would want to be?
Yes.
And if she would say yes.
If she didn't want him there, then no.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Bridget wanted him to be there, you know, look, they may have made this all these decisions already, and my point is totally baseless.
Yeah.
They may have already said, look, you're the father. You'll be the father in name and on paper only. You're not going to be a part of this kid's life. Maybe they made that decision. I don't know. And if that's true, then.
Well, if you were Tom Brady, would that be all right with you?
Well, I don't really think you have much of a say in it.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
You don't?
No.
Really? You don't have any legal say?
Paper-wise, yeah. But yeah. If she doesn't want you to be a part of the kid's life, what are you going
to
do?
I guess you could bring it to court and ask for some visitation.
Could be a jerk about it, yeah.
Yeah, well, is it being a jerk to want to see your kid?
No, I'm saying if she doesn't want you to be part of the life,
right.
You're going to go to court and make her do something she doesn't want to do?
It depends on how bad you want to be part of this kid's life.
All things that should have been considered, I would think.
Beforehand.
Before this.
I agree with that.
Somebody wake up Tom.
Oh, I forgot. Tom likes football.
Let's see. Getting back to Bob Lay's email, he says, this is just for fun, but let's say we trade Samuel, God forbid, to the Redskins for the sixth pick, hypothetically. You guys said if Adrian Peterson is still on the board, hypothetically, we should take him. I don't want to see the scenario at all, but if we did, hypothetically, what would Maroney's place be? Again, this is just for fun. Did you say that? If Adrian Peterson is available, take him?
Well, I'm sure we went over it for a second, but if I said it...
Do you have to take notes now so you can remember what you said the week before?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I'll say this. If I'm on the board ever and Adrian Peterson's available, then I'm going to take him.
And I'm going to second that.
So if they're at six, yeah, and Adrian Peterson's on the board, I think they should draft him. You know why? I think he's going to be a better pro than Lawrence Maroney.
So then the question is, what happens to Lawrence Maroney?
He becomes a backup.
Okay.
They split carries. Now, look, if Calvin Johnson and Adrian Peterson are available, then maybe I'd take Calvin Johnson.
That was the thing. So a certain number of players were off the board, and Peterson was still available.
Sure.
So
I think
Maroney wouldn't be a backup right away, but if Peterson's going to be as good as everyone thinks he is, then Maroney would probably end up being second banana.
Right.
P.S. says, Bob, the listeners don't know what you guys look like, but, Tom, I have this image of you that you look like Bob Lay from ESPN. Don't
Bob
kill
Lee,
me on the
Bob
air,
Lee.
Tom. You're my favorite Tom behind Tom Brady.
Just watch, Patriots Today. Apparently I'm fat or I look like a machine, depending on the lighting. They had bad lighting.
Then what day that one was shot.
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
Yes, Tom does not look like Bob Lay.
It's Lee.
It's Lee.
Lee?
Bob Lee.
Bob Lee? L-E-Y?
Yes.
Why don't people spell their name like this? They sound. Why do they have to be fancy about it?
I don't know, Frank.
You know? It's crazy. Let's see. Nick writes in again. We've already read one from him. But it's a pretty good. Okay. Hello, Hungry Hippos and Tom, he says. I'm assuming it was the weather that kept you guys from running the marathon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That and a hatred for running.
Because I choose not to run.
This marathon, I mean, this is the least, I think, talked about marathon I've ever remembered.
Really?
I can't stand the marathon.
I was going to say, who talks about a marathon?
Well,
who
cares? Know, some years it gets a little bit of attention.
I cannot stand it. I hate it. I don't want it to go away or anything. It really doesn't have anything to do with me. But
it's like tradition, like singing the anthem before the game.
I felt bad. I had to. I honestly felt bad. Waking up Monday morning and seeing what those poor people... I mean, it's 23,000 people that ran that thing. You get beyond the elite guys, okay?
Right.
And the people that are just out there, you know, raising money for charity or doing something to, you know, for whatever reason, and you're smacked in the face for 26 miles by that wind and that rain.
All I know is they're lucky that they don't allow gambling on that thing, because if they did, I'd bet the guy from Kenya.
Yeah, but there's about 27 guys from Kenya.
Put $10 on each of them. You can't lose.
All right, little trivia. You ready? Paul, you already read this?
I'll tell you if I read it or not, and I won't answer.
Number one, how many number one overall picks have the Pats had in their history? Can you name them?
I have
number
not.
Number one overall.
I'll say they had Drew Bledsoe in 93, Irving Fryer in 84, Kenneth Sims in 81. And beyond that, I can't tell you.
There's one other, according to...
What year?
Nick, who last
year... It was
wrong?
Was it
that? Oh, Jim Plunkett.
Right.
In 71.
Jim Plunkett.
Right?
Yep. Let's see. Number two, since 1947, do you know what teams, and there's a tie, have the most number one overall picks all time?
1947?
Since 47, what teams have the most number one overall picks? Two teams are tied.
Shorthawks! Shorthawks!
No?
Couldn't tell you.
Colts are one.
Colts.
Yeah.
And the Browns.
Number two, no, is Tampa Bay.
Wow. See, Tampa Bay was the first thing I thought of, but I figured if we're going back to 47.
Yeah.
All right. Three, and this is the last one. What team has not picked number one overall ever?
Ever.
Miami.
Well, this is a little bit complicated answer, but it's not Miami.
Branch's absence is unexcused.
Number one, never had a number one overall
Seattle.
Pick. Seattle is correct. Gary told him.
How did you know? Oh.
He says, not including the Jags and Panthers because they were expansion picks, not given the number one pick, and not the Ravens either because they haven't picked number one since moving to Baltimore, but did as the Browns. Okay. Then he has some stuff about Mel Kiper. He says that he and the rest of the talking heads need to eat you know what. So he didn't trick me into reading it. He was trying to. They didn't know about Colston, and they need to stop pretending like they did. I heard a couple of them say the other day that all the GMs and scouts knew he could play, and they just didn't take him. Give me a break. In this age of the internet and mass media, it is okay to say you missed one. Also, I know mock drafts aren't credible, but Mel Kiper didn't update his mock from March 13th to April 16th.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
What else does he have to do?
That's true. That's a good point. Very good point. He's the draft guy, and he's taken over a month to update his mock draft. That's, come on. No, I agree with you.
He's got all that ESPN stuff.
And listen, Mel Kiper, I'll tell you what. Anyone have his book from last year? Do we still have it? I'll see where he's got Colston ranked, if he even ranked him. So that'll tell you right there.
Are they now saying that they all knew about Colston?
The only person who knew about Colston was Paul. And we have it documented on our draft podcast. Use that Podzinger or whatever. Put in Marcus Colston and you'll find it.
I can't even in good conscience take that. Because I didn't think that he was going to be this good. I just told you that hey, he's a pretty good player in the Atlantic 10.
Let's see. Craig says again, when the draft comes around every year, we always hear about the character issues of certain players and how these issues drop their draft value. With the new emphasis on behavior problems in the NFL, what is the effect these character questions will have on these players' draft positions? And who are the players in this draft who have major character questions?
Well, Eric Wright is one of them. He allegedly beat up his girlfriend while allegedly having drugs in his room, so that's one. He's actually rising, though. I just think you'll always find a team that'll take a chance. If a guy's got talent, I think certain teams like the Titans, they said they never, ever stray from their theory except one time, and the one time was Pac-Man Jones. So you can guarantee that the Titans will go back to and never, ever stray away from that again because they got burnt on it. But you'll always find a team that'll fall in love with a guy's talent, and they'll always draft him.
Interesting that you brought this up, this whole character issue. I was talking to somebody yesterday. In pretty in-depth knowledge of the past draft. I think it was a 2005 draft, I want to say. You brought up Pac-Man Jones. The Patriots did not have him taken off the board. They did not have him red flagged as a guy with character issues to the point that they wouldn't select him. They did, however, have Chris Henry completely off the board. Mm-hmm. Not a Patriots kind of player, I'm told. And again, I didn't see this with my own eyes, so I can't say, like Fred, you know, when Fred tells you that he knows pretty much for sure that Robert Kraft spoke with Drew Bledsoe, I can't say that because I didn't see it. But I was told by a pretty reliable person that Pac-Man Jones was still in consideration, whereas Chris Henry off the board for the Patriots that year. Well, I thought that was kind of interesting.
What do you think, you know, speaking of this new emphasis on character that Goodell has
loved it.
You know, I like it, too.
The year suspension of Pac-Man Jones. But in his statement, one of the things that he did say that we need to watch out about is that employees of the teams will be held to even higher standard than the players. I don't think
someone wrote in last
week tipper,
saying,
I think your girlfriend probably
so I
gave
think we're
all
screwed. Well, no, someone wrote in
especially
last
you,
week
potty mouth.
And
yeah.
Said, that's a good idea. Let the guys who are making the minimum wage
right.
be held to a higher standard than the guys making millions
well, but,
of dollars.
But, that, right. but really, they don't work. The players are with the union. So that's kind of a shot at the union that we're still not holding you to the same standard we're holding ourselves.
Well, you know what I don't like? The whole responsibility that falls on the team. And I understand both sides of this, but the whole penalization of a team. I don't get that. I don't really understand that. Is it Bill Belichick's fault that Kenyatta Jones threw hot water on some guy and got himself arrested?
It isn't,
arrested?
But I think if the player knows that if they do something wrong, they're not just hurting themselves.
Crazy. You're crazy.
Well,
they only care.
You think
about
if that's a deterrent for a player?
Well, but it also tells.
Well, obviously, a player knows that his actions affect a whole team.
But it also tells a team that if you've got a guy, even if he hasn't been caught yet, that you know of things, you better do something about it.
Right. And again,
so
don't turn the other cheek.
Don't turn your back on these guys. Do something about
it. What they're trying to do is discourage a team like Cincinnati from just taking all the guys that have red flag. What good does that do if they're all on the same team or not? If they're all does it really matter to the NFL that 9 Bengals were arrested or that 9 players were arrested?
Well,
do you understand my point? I know the other side of it. I understand it. I just don't think it's fair to the teams. I don't think it's Bill Belichick's fault if a couple of guys run afoul of the
law. I think it's going to be discretionary, but I think when they see a pattern of teams not doing what they need to do when things happen, then they're going to. Now Goodell has some type of warning that he's going to do something.
Right. I love the policy. I love it being a tough. Tom and I talked about this a few weeks back when it was first kind of the 3-strike policy. I love because, as I put it, Fred, you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time and be a victimizer.
Right.
But 3 times?
Right.
No way.
Right.
No way. I love it. They can't get tough enough with that stuff.
Craig has a PS. What is the story behind Amobi Okoye? How does a guy start playing college ball at 16?
He's a freak of nature.
He was, I want to say he was 12 when he came over from Africa. Is it Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria.
I just actually saw this on ESPN, the magazine, last week. He was through a level of school already that had him ready for high school at the age of 12. When he came to the United States, I believe in the Alabama area, I want to say, somewhere down south, his mother, was enrolling him in school, and they wanted to put him in middle school, and he was far too advanced for that. He's a very bright kid. They insisted on getting him started in high school at the age of 12. So he went into an advanced, they told a long, detailed story about him being in an advanced social studies course in high school, and they had an interview with the teacher, who immediately rattled off 3 or 4 questions, and Okoye was the first one to answer all of them, and they said this isn't even challenging for him. So he ended up graduating high school at the age of 16 and played as a true freshman at Louisville. At that age, which was astounding to me. That was the most impressive thing.
Yeah, I don't know. There may have been one before, but I don't know of any player that's ever come to the draft like this, like who started high school
and played, a full complement of years.
Exactly. So this is a very unique player. And when you look at him, a guy like him versus a guy like Branch, I think Branch comes in and is a monster right away. Okoye, I think, will be a good player right away. But you're looking at a return 2 years down the road of a guy who has just the sky's the limit for him.
I think that Okoye would be a great, great pick for someone because I think you're going to get the total package.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get a Calvin Johnson type. You're going to get a player who not only can succeed on the field but is going to succeed off of it as well.
And the only problem is, though, is you may have to wait like 1 or 2 years for it. But when you're picking in the top 10, you have to weigh those. We really need to win now. But I still say someone takes him in the top 10 because his upside is just phenomenal.
Let's see. Who's writing this one? John in L.A. is writing in, and he says, first of all, congrats to Paul on the birth of his son and preemptive apology for not offering to subsidize your lunch. I'm a starving screenwriter in L.A., but I can promise you tickets to the premiere of my movie about 18 months from now. You book the JetBlue flights, and I'll get right on it.
Well, is it about the mob or sports? Because otherwise, I don't know if Tom and I are interested.
Before I get to my Patriot stuff, I just wanted to compliment Casale on the khakis and brown shirt combo he wore for the Patriots.com running backs preview. Feel free to leave my packages inside the screen door. I'm working late. Won't be home to sign for them. You're a loser.
A lot of comments on Tom's attire.
And can I get a What Can Brown Do For You t-shirt? Dynamite. Were you giving away those?
I guess.
Well, evidently they thought he looked like he was a UPS guy. Fred.
Okay.
See where he was going with that?
So, yeah. So you had a brown ensemble. It's tough to pull off brown.
Well, I had to bring three shirts or whatever.
Why, you sweat a lot?
So. No, you remember when he did that every day a couple of weeks ago?
I wasn't here. I don't know where.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my department.
In all seriousness, just wanted to say that you're all great, knowledgeable in your specific and diverse ways, and that the beatdowns that lame-ass Pats fans try to put on Casale for the apparently mortal sin of talking sense and offering candid and objective analysis regarding the team and possible draft picks never land. I don't know what that means. They are the football equivalent.
Never land.
Oh, I guess the punches never land is what he's saying. They are the football equivalent of some kind of bizarre don't talk bad about my mommy syndrome that one would hope New England fans would be above. In other words, yes, Wes Welker's a nice player, but at this point he's closer to being Tim Dwight than Troy Brown. That could change. We hope it does. But people need to take an effing breath. Let's see him, you know, do it first. Anyway, the vast majority of us truly appreciate the honest assessments we hear every week. Please keep it up, and more often if possible. Displaced New Englanders like myself here in sunny L.A., where you're always welcome, deeply appreciate what you do.
Well, thanks. So who's this? John?
John in L.A.
Well, John, I'll tell you what. Now, in the summertime, I'll wear that brown shirt with my khaki shorts, and then I'll really look like a UPS guy for you.
He looks like Kevin James.
Yeah.
Also, he says, all these rumblings about Belichick leaving after 07 seem to be quelled, or should have been, in my opinion, after Mike Reese's interview with him. It seemed very much like he's here for the long haul, which would go along with the values his father seemed to espouse in his own career. What do you guys think? Any vibe over at Gillette? Would love to get an up-close perspective of this matter of long-term import.
Well, what do you want me to tell you?
I don't think any interview he does has any relevance, because Belichick is not going to give you inclination one way or another.
Well, what about this interview we did with Reese?
I don't even know what you're talking about, to be honest with you.
You didn't do an interview over the weekend? I didn't see anything on Sunday.
I missed a lot of stuff.
No, this was the previous one. I think.
Oh, is that the Bella English one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that wasn't with Mike Reese.
Or Reese did one, though, with him, too, about, like...
Oh, the rule changes and stuff.
Yeah.
I read that. That's the last thing I can remember Reese writing about.
Yeah, I think he's talking about one from before. Remember Reese did, like, kind of a perspective, like, after-the-season perspective thing with Belichick. He had to sit down with him. You remember?
Well, I know that
think of something more current.
No, I know that Mike has done some things with Coach Belichick, but nothing that I can really recall where I said, "Wow, I guess that puts that to rest." Nothing really of any substance. But I agree with you, Tom, too. If he was thinking of leaving, he's certainly not going to give an inkling to a reporter, even one that he has a good relationship like he obviously does with Mike. And nor should he. He's not going to tip his hand and do anything like that. I don't think, and Fred, you've been forefront on this and adamant about it for over a year. I don't think he's going anywhere. We think he's here for the long haul, whatever the long haul might be. But, again, I don't necessarily – I'm not going to be stunned or surprised if it
suddenly
changes
direction. Short of being a part owner of another team and going over to the coach, I can't see him having a better situation.
This is what I think. I think he's going to want $10 million a year. So,
okay.
If the Patriots pay it, I think he'll stay.
How about if if they win the Super Bowl this year and he just decides, you know what, that's it. I did it.
That's a possibility. I don't see him going to another NFL team.
How many coaches have four Super Bowls? Chuck Knoll?
Knoll has it, and Walsh doesn't have it, right?
No, Walsh has three.
Yeah, that's it.
So I think it would be interesting if maybe he decided, I want another Super Bowl, I'm going to step away, and I'm just going to watch my kids. I'll watch my kids play lacrosse, whatever. Maybe coach a lacrosse team. Who knows?
Right.
He loves lacrosse. We all know that.
Write books, whatever. Yeah.
But, I would be surprised. If he did do that,
he would come back at some point.
I think
there's no way Belichick's staying retired at the age of 50-something for the rest of his life.
I don't know.
Now, he has said in the past that he's not interested in coaching. This came up with Marv Levy. He's not interested in coaching into his 70s and doing anything like that. But there's a long way between now and his 70s. He's still in his mid-50s.
I think you get that guy off for a year or two, he's going to go nuts. He's going to be dying to come back.
But
he's here for the long haul.
But I think he's the kind of guy that whatever he does next, he'll be as into it as he was this.
Yeah, you mean like Joe Gibbs, right?
Well, Joe Gibbs was away for a long time.
And came back. He got the urge to come back. I'm just saying, I think when you're
a
guy like that lives and breathes football – like Belichick. I think you can go be successful somewhere else, but it's always going to pull at you. You're always going to want to come back.
I think
back.
Gibbs isn't necessarily a good example, though, Tom, because I think that he found his outlet somewhere else, and then the same thing happened to him that happened in football. He kind of, okay, I did this NASCAR thing. I got good at it, and I'm getting a little tired of it. Now I'm going to go back and do the football thing again. You know, I don't think it was necessarily a Parcells where he leaves for, you know, 5 minutes and decides, ah, that pull is just, you know, I can't resist. Parcells is the poster child for that. You know, he doesn't know what to do with himself.
I would say that Belichick and Parcells are pretty similar.
I think Belichick is better at other things than Bill Parcells.
Like what?
I just think that point is irrelevant.
I just think he's a smarter guy.
Doesn't
matter. I think he's a smarter person in terms of intellect, but what do you think he's better at?
Economics, running a business.
All right, just go on.
Okay. You know, okay.
Now you just sound like one of those guys on Saturday Night Live. Ditka should be president.
Fact is a fact.
Well,
now,
someone in this organization told me that there's no question in his mind that Belichick is a smarter man than the president. So
I believe
maybe
that.
Maybe he is going to be the president.
You don't believe that? You don't believe that Belichick is smarter than George Bush?
It was the president. What didn't have anything to do with George Bush.
Well, that's who the president is.
It wasn't. He wasn't at the time that it was said.
I don't care. You can name all the
ways. It was the president, period. Anybody, no matter who the president
is. That's ridiculous.
Thank you.
That's ridiculous because you don't know who the guy is.
And no, I don't think he's smarter than George Bush, by the way.
What?
No.
Oh!
There we go.
I don't. But I don't want to get into a political discussion because there's not. Here's where I'll fall into
Tom's category. I think you're smarter than George Bush. No.
What this country needs is a leader who speaks clearly.
No, I'm not.
I'm smart enough to run the country. Please.
And he
I know nothing about politics. Nothing at all.
It's not. That's not the point. You could learn.
I'm totally ignorant. But I don't have it. I mean, sure, I could learn.
If you spent your life doing what he did, you would be better suited to do it than he is.
Well, that might be true. I don't think it is.
And that has nothing to do with intelligence.
You're claiming that I already have it.
No, you're talking about experience. That's different from intelligence. Obviously, you don't have the experience.
We're playing semantics games.
You are more intelligent than George Bush. I guarantee
it. I think Belichick should be president, okay? Go to the next email.
I thought it was Tom for president.
Dick, vice president.
Mayor from Tampa,
give
Florida.
God credit. 72 to tree.
Mayor from Tampa, Florida. I keep hearing about trading Samuel to this team or that team for this pick and that pick. Don't you guys think that if the Patriots want to make a run at the Super Bowl, they need to keep Samuel?
Yes.
Isn't the window of opportunity shrinking as Tom Brady ages? The Patriots need to win now, and they need Samuel to achieve this. It took Samuel 3 years to become the player he is now. There might be great corners in the draft, but will they produce immediately? Probably not. The time to win is now, and the Patriots understand that. They will do everything to keep Samuel.
I agree with the first part of that email strongly. I think that they need, you know, I think they're a Super Bowl-ready team right now. They're Super Bowl caliber. And I think if you lose a starting corner that is a pretty productive starting corner, it's rather presumptuous to just assume that someone else can come in and replace him without incident. I think it's a dangerous game you play. Now, as I pointed out in the SPFW yesterday that was on this topic, it's possible to get a guy to step in and you don't lose it. I mean, that they won in the past when they lost Ty Law and they lost other guys and they played with Troy Brown and Randall Gay and they held on to their hats and they won the Super Bowl. But that doesn't mean that's going to happen like that all the time. I think that something as small as that could really derail it, you know, could be the difference between losing a playoff game and winning it
all.
Some
people might say that if they had a better receiver last year, they might have won the Super Bowl. So you could go back and look at it last year, too.
I'd be one of them, even though I get laughed at with that. I would be one of them because I think they would have had home field had they had a little bit more offense in the first half of the season. But
all right,
that's an argument for a different day.
We were talking about greatness earlier. Matt from Dover says, I can't really think of anyone besides LaDainian Tomlinson. Maybe Walter Jones, the washed-up Jason Taylor.
Washed-up Jason Taylor, who's defensive MVP last year.
Quote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. Peyton Manning. The one who called him overrated, by the way.
What about Peyton Manning?
I would say he's great.
Yeah, I would say he's great.
First-ballot Hall of Famer, you're great. Manning's a first-ballot Hall of Famer, so is Brady.
Larry Johnson probably qualifies as great.
At some point, I think he's, you know, I want to see the rest of his career.
Now, we're talking about overall
right now.
Because Ray Lewis is probably
great.
Ray Lewis was great.
Yeah.
Ed Reed.
Oh, Ed Reed's great.
Yeah. All right. He also says, P.S., Frank isn't really that much of an improvement over Fred. some crazy opinions with little or nothing to back them up. I think Paul should hold down Frank while Tom beats some football sense into him with those concealed weapons ripping all those shirts of his. Wow.
You have concealed weapons ripping shirts?
The pipes.
I brought the heavy bag back from New York so I can do some Rocky down in the basement. Jab's not sharp enough.
Yeah, they get big for the prom, huh?
You thinking of going into protection or collection or
anything
like that?
No, I used to take boxing lessons.
Did you?
I like it, yeah.
You like boxing?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, there's nothing better than a workout in a heavy bag.
No, I know, nothing.
It's unbelievable workout.
What was the last workout you had with a heavy bag?
Oh, you played that video game where you had a punch standing up.
Long time ago. But
yeah, that's a good call, Tom.
That's a good workout. That's a good workout.
It is. It hurts my hands, though.
Well, you got to wear gloves.
You got to tape them up. You have to take that like cloth and tape around your...
I'm a girly man. I have white collar hands.
Matt is one of our great emailers who sent in food.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. Eric from Manchester, will any of you boys hit any of the Dallas strip clubs when the Patriots visit Dallas in October?
That's a business trip, my friend. I'm there for business.
Well, I'm not. So what do we got? You got any suggestions?
There's a lot of gentlemen's clubs in Dallas.
Oh, there now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure you might actually see Roy Williams while you're there.
I don't know if I'm still looking forward to the Tampa Bay preseason trip.
Okay,
for those purposes.
Are we going to Carolina again this year?
Yes, yeah. We are.
We always go there.
Huh? Always go to Carolina.
All right. Thank God we're not going to Seattle, though, huh?
Well,
not to mention Tom's case.
We don't want to go to Seattle for a preseason game, you know?
Yeah, it's not worth it. Not worth it.
There'll be time enough for those trips in 08, Fred.
Oh, yeah,
Seattle, San Fran, Oakland, and San Diego.
There'll be some changes before that season.
Yeah, you'll no longer be traveling?
Yeah, there might be some changes.
Yes,
You love it too much. There's no way you'd ever step aside.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you really don't need to travel now. But
Especially now.
Well, somebody's got to do what I do during the game.
You could do it for
I thought you had someone doing that.
I tried
that,
once. It doesn't work.
I thought you had someone else doing that.
No.
Yeah, what's Eric doing?
Well, we're going to have to talk. Something's got to, you know, maybe I don't have to travel this year.
But you love it. There's no, like, he makes it sound like he can't wait to not travel.
I do love traveling. But I'm not going to travel if I don't have a role.
And if Eric's doing your role, you won't have one.
You know, let's face it, Fred. Let's just say for argument's sake, you didn't have to do this. There's still a role that you play. I mean, you're still our boss. You're our coordinator.
Yeah, but I don't need to be there.
Technical need.
I don't want to take up a spot on that plane if I'm not working.
Because
I don't want to be like other people.
But your presence is certainly justified.
Not from a work standpoint.
You're the straw that stirs the drink, Fred.
Yeah.
Even when you blow us off when the big timers come around, you still suck it up,
do the story, and come.
Plus, I know you.
What I would do is we would add to it. So if Eric's doing the story, I would go down the locker room and file an analysis on the plane and have it up by the time we got home. You know? I would go down and get quotes.
Could do something like that.
I mean, I like working. I'm not going to just go to watch the game. It's just not
Fred,
fair.
Fred, I've told you many times, I have no problems with the traveling.
I love the traveling.
I don't like being away from my family.
If there's not a reason to go.
I like the traveling.
I like everything except the plane.
Yeah. No, I know. You don't like to fly.
If you could just snap your fingers and be there, I'd be more
than
happy.
Like the night games, but that's
they suck.
That has nothing to do with the traveling. It's just the night games.
And it would be great
night games either.
If we could just come home
and go home like everybody else does.
Right. Let's see. Follow this logic here. Keith LaChance writes in, question on a topic around the water cooler lately that I haven't heard brought up in the media since Drew retired, is that prior to Drew in the Big Tuna, the Patriots were close to a second bankruptcy or moving. Remember the Sullivans and Victor Kiam, because fans had endured too much failure and weren't going to games.
Thank you, Robert.
Then James B. Orthwine purchased the Pats. Then he hired the Big Tuna. Then the Tuna drafted Drew Bledsoe. Now, all of you sudden tickets that before you couldn't get were like gold. You couldn't buy them.
Gold, Jerry.
Because they were sold out. Then all the new apparel. These are the guys that started the evolution and brought excitement back into Patriots Nation.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Now, my friends and I are of the same opinion, and I was wondering what you guys thought, is that if it wasn't for these guys reviving an organization that was on life support, that Mr. Kraft, who signs your checks,
you,
never buys the New England Patriots because he is too astute of a businessman and wouldn't have taken the risks with something that had no life. If so, why didn't he make his move before Mr. Orthwine for one-third of the cost? Kraft didn't make his move to buy until the revival had already started. I'll give you the answer to that. Orthwine was already part owner of the team when he took over. He took over ownership of the team to protect his investment, and because he thought he had a group in St. Louis that would buy the team from him eventually.
That makes sense to me. I mean, so, I don't have all the in-depth knowledge that you do.
So truly,
but that makes sense to me.
The team wasn't available when Orthwine took it over. Orthwine took over the team, took over ownership of the team. He was already a part owner, a minority owner, and he was just protecting his investment. Made that clear when he bought the team and said that he was just a temporary owner.
Oh, absolutely. I remember that vividly.
Yeah.
He was not the savior.
He was not the savior. He was a temporary owner, and that he would, you know, hang on to the team for a couple years and then make a decision.
In my opinion, he always has a place, Orthwine, because he did that, and he could have easily protected his investment by hiring Rich Kotite, you know, or some other retread bum.
Yep.
That would have done nothing to revive anything here in New England and then gone to St. Louis.
Well, he
hired Bill Parcells, and at not a cut rate.
Right.
Bill Parcells at that time was demanding his own salary.
Yep.
You know, coming off two Super Bowls with the Giants. That was, don't forget, it's the first time he came back.
Yep.
You know, and for that, you know, that was a big piece. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Parcells was a big piece of legitimacy.
Orthwine knew he had to, you know, increase the value of his assets, so he brought in, you know, smart
and of course,
move.
The brilliance of Parcells, Tom, to then choose between Rick Meyer and Drew Bledsoe. I mean, if you'd.
Well,
Rick Meyer may not have, you know,
a lot of people believe that Parcells didn't want Bledsoe, that he was talked into it, but that's all right.
Yeah, he did that a lot. He was talked into making picks that he didn't want a lot.
Let's see. Yeah, he didn't want Terry Glenn, but he eventually liked
and
him
he left.
Enough, liked him enough to bring him back to Dallas.
You just proved my point.
Yeah.
He didn't want Terry Glenn, so what did he do? He left.
But he was.
So don't tell me he didn't want Drew Bledsoe.
Because he realized that he was wrong. Just like he realized he was wrong with Terry Glenn when he brought him into Dallas. I mean, how was that other guy? Cedric, who was the guy he wanted?
He says he wanted Tony Brackens.
Yeah. He wanted the other guy from the Giants.
He says he wanted Tony Brackens. I can only go by what he says.
Okay. Let's see. Now, Keith says...
Cedric Jones. Is
that he wanted Cedric Jones.
Who, by the way, was injured and knocked out of football.
Right.
As a result.
That
means he was as
a result of Parcells not taking him. He was injured and knocked out of football.
No, you're saying I said he was injured and knocked out of football as a result of the injury, not Parcells not taking him.
Let's see.
That was very Andy-like right there.
Keith says, now I'm extremely grateful to Mr. Kraft, Bill Belichick, Scott Pioli, Tom Brady, and all the Pats players and employees for completing the evolution with continuance of excellence. But the three men before them are like Paul Revere and our forefathers who started the revolution and should be honored by the organization, fans, and media.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere.
I hate it when someone disrespects Drew. Look at what he accomplished, not what he didn't. There should be a statue of him in front of Gillette Stadium because he helped build it. Thanks, guys,
for taking
the time to read this email and letting me vent. No, this is Keith LaChance.
I don't necessarily agree with the Orthwine.
Hey, I got an idea.
No, Orthwine, like I said, Kraft didn't buy the team because it wasn't available. Once it became available, he – and basically there were other groups looking at the team at the same time, Fran Murray's group.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
– I mean, he's saying the three guys are Orthwine, Parcells, and Bledsoe. I would say it's Kraft, Parcells, and Bledsoe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not because he signs my check either before I get that.
Fact is a fact. You know, he paid the most money ever paid for a sports franchise at the time. Let's see. TG in NFL Jersey says, what's your assessment of the NFL Europe, Europa, Deutschland, or whatever they're calling it? The season just started this past weekend, and I found myself watching to help get through the offseason. Do any of you pay attention to it? How important is it to the NFL? Have a lot of players benefited from their times in Europe and gone on to productive careers in the NFL?
Rohan Davey is even
I can answer that since I watched it last year doing the NFL Europe diary. It is terrible, terrible, terrible football. The guys who benefited most from it were years ago. hardly any guys at this point come in and are stars after they've been in NFL Europe.
You know what makes me, you know what scares me about NFL Europe is if you're not really familiar with how good football is, and that's your first exposure to football. This is the most boring game ever played. Please watch Division One college football or the pros before you make your decision. If you're listening from Europe,
is that they don't have any quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and teams simply can't throw the football.
Yeah.
So then you just load up against the run and you can't run it, and they're all 10-6 games. That's all you get.
The other inherent problem with it is
there's no talent.
Well, understood. The talent level is low, but. You know, the talent level is discernibly lower in college football than it is in the pros, but yet it's a very entertaining game to watch. And the reason I think the biggest problem that NFL Europe has is it's impossible to replicate a system. Football is not like the other sports where you can just kind of throw the ball on the field and have good athletes be able to play together. In football, you have to have camp and off season and a system being implemented. NFL Europe, they go. What do they practice for? What, a month?
Yeah, Ben Trone said last.
And they're
year,
all,
they just
they're all
threw
players.
It together
they're
and,
all players yeah. from different teams,
different systems,
and they try to play over there. Now, what kind of sophistication do you think they have on an offense that was implemented in 3 weeks?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? It's almost like you're taking. I mean, high school teams have more structure than they do in NFL Europe.
It's just sloppy football.
But wouldn't that be understandable?
Because no one knows what they're doing. It just looks like lost, sloppy.
Right. You made the comment, Tom, that the quarterback play is bad. Well, I would think that if you asked, you know, even a pretty decent level NFL quarterback to go over there and play with a bunch of guys. I'll give you a perfect example. Look what happened to Tom Brady at the beginning of last year when he was asked to play with a bunch of guys he'd never played with before.
Right.
He wasn't Tom Brady as we knew him, right? So what do you think a guy with one-tenth of the ability is going to do with other guys with one-tenth of the ability? It's bad football. And I think you make a good point, Fred.
Really
I hope
boring.
That they don't look in Europe and say, wow, that's the game that everybody raves about in America. That's a bad game because it is a bad game.
I've tried watching it. It's just really boring.
I've given it a lot of different shots, too, because over the years we've had you know, guys like Tony Simmons and Davey. We've had like skill position guys that were worth our while to pay attention to. It's really, really bad football.
Anthony Simmons!
Let's see. You know, one of the things we haven't really talked about is the whole Todd Sauerbrunn issue and with the right of first refusal and all that. Ryan writes in, he says, like one of you on the show, either Andy or Paul, I've read the entire revised NFL collective bargaining agreement. I'm also not a lawyer, but in an interesting quirk, I work across the street from the NFL Players Association. Anyway, I think the NFLPA...
You ever see Gene Upshaw? I bet he doesn't go there very often.
I think the NFLPA and the Sauerbrunn camp may have the Pats over a barrel. The NFLPA complaint is that paperwork was never filed by the Pats to the league stating that Sauerbrunn had submitted to a right of first refusal. On page 42 of the CBA, Article 19, Section 5, Clause C, it states, quote, any individual right of first refusal shall be void and unenforceable unless it is specified in a separate document signed by such player, acknowledging such player's waiver of the express right that unrestricted free agents have under this agreement to be free of any right of first refusal restriction on their freedom of movement. The clause goes on to reference Appendix F of the CBA, which is the template for the missing document in question.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
Right. Unless the Pats can produce a copy of that document signed by Sauerbrunn at the time of his contract, I think we're looking at less of a punting competition than is generally thought. And Daniel Graham just got himself a roommate at Broncos training camp.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the answer to that question. And that's what's being heard. Actually, it was heard yesterday here in Boston. There was a special hearing to hear that grievance. And I suppose we'll find out in the next couple of days. But one thing that I thought was very interesting about this, you guys fill me in because I wasn't really here last week. But am I right in that the offer sheet that Sauerbrunn signed with Denver contained a no-trade clause? Did anybody know that? Because I was told this yesterday. And again, I didn't read all this stuff when I was out for a week. But I was told that he signed the offer sheet with Denver, had a no-trade clause, which means that if the Patriots matched it, he's got a no-trade clause. So now I'm wondering, why are the Patriots going to such lengths to match this offer?
I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you. I was surprised that now everybody's dying to get this guy.
Well, my initial thought was, you match the offer because now you know Denver's interested and now you can trade. But if there's a no trade clause in the offer that you matched, you can't trade.
Yeah.
So it's really, he's got to be your punter to have any value for you.
Right.
Let's see, Kermit the Brian McLeod. Earlier we talked about the rankings of the team sites as made available in the league.
Brian's a longtime listener too. By
yeah,
way.
He says I only haven't written due to a rather harsh work schedule and having nothing to say that you gents can't say any better. But really, you're not number one. Look, I have friends who follow every team in the league, and they are all jealous of me. I wonder if part of the reason for that isn't related to the fans of New England. We are sadly the kind of folks who will spend hundreds of dollars to see a game and yet leave when we think it's going to be lost. I really think this site is by far the best in the league. You just have, sadly, a bunch of unappreciative fans. Thank you all for what you've given us. Well, the ranking isn't who was best. It was just merely traffic. So, you know, now that does relate to traffic. You know, the best usually gets the most traffic, but it really didn't have anything to do with what site has the best content or anything like that.
I wonder how they could do that.
Well, they'd have to have an impartial panel voting.
Yeah, but how do you do it? You know, how do you get
it's like the Academy Awards.
Impartial people to do it.
Yeah. You know, it's like the Academy Awards, I guess.
Patriots.com, the Academy Awards.
Now, what would my acceptance speech be? Or would I even go up and...
Would you cry?
No, I wouldn't cry.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robert.
Let's see. Quick salary.
Would you go up or would
Robert? Jonathan.
Robert or Jonathan?
It depends on the profile of it. You know.
Oh, if it was like a minor, like a little luncheon buffet.
Right.
You know,
I'd probably have to go.
On behalf of the Patriots, Fred Kirsch.
Right.
Some banquet in like Washington.
Right.
Robert
Craig,
Kraft.
To thank you.
It'd be like...
Lenny, see?
Steve writes in, if a player signs a contract that contains numerous incentive clauses that total $1 million and his base salary is also $1 million, what is his salary cap hit?
It depends on what classification those incentives would come under. They're basically, this is a very basic thing, and before the capologists attack me, this is kind of 101, very basic entry-level stuff. Two levels of incentives, likely to be earned, not likely to be earned. The likely to be earned fall under that specific year's salary cap, and if they're not hit, then you get the overage to spend the following year.
And a likely to be earned incentive is one
something
that has
that's already
been
reached. A quarterback who has thrown 20 through, if Tom Brady threw 20 touchdown passes in 2006, and you had a contract that gave him a $1 million incentive for 20 touchdown passes for 2007, that would count against the cap as a likely to be earned incentive. If he did not throw 20 touchdown passes in that year, you would get that cap space back the following year.
On the other hand,
so a lot of teams do that to manipulate the cap to get extra spending. Matter of fact, the Patriots did it with Dan Copen last year. He had a sizable incentive for special teams, which was a likely to be earned, but he didn't play special teams. So the Patriots got that extra cap space for 2007.
Okay.
Now, not likely to be earned is obviously the opposite. It's something that a player has never done.
And
that would qualify for the following year if it was reached.
Right.
So let's say again.
It's more of a true
Tom
incentive.
Brady has never thrown 30 touchdown passes. So he has a $1 million bonus incentive bonus in 2007 for throwing 30 touchdown passes. Well, he's never done that, so it's not likely to be earned. In 2007, he throws 31. 2008, there's an extra $1 million on the cap on Tom Brady.
Right.
That's very basic. It's not it's not exactly that way, but it's very,
but
very basic.
But it is a way with the ones that are, you know, likely to be earned. It is a way for a team to kind
of manipulate the numbers. There was a good piece in ESPN the magazine 2 issues ago about that, teams really taking advantage of that loophole.
And it's play for performance. It's along those lines. Kyle from Wakefield, New Hampshire, just wanted to know, and his subject line is, thank God Fred is gone. I just wanted to know what you guys think of David Ball from UNH. I may be biased because he goes to UNH, but the guy just has intangibles. He knows how to find the end zone, obviously considering he now owns a record that used to belong to a guy named Jerry Rice. I think he could be a nice little player like Wes Welker. I just don't have Ball being an all-pro like that guy Frank thinks about Welker. I think Ball could be a good possession receiver for some team in the NFL what do you guys think of Ball? Well, Paul doesn't even think he's going to be
Paul,
drafted.
Let me ask you a question.
I didn't say that. I just don't think he's
Paul,
that good.
In all college football, do you know who the leading rusher of all time is?
LeSean Johnson?
No. He played for Cornell.
Oh, Ed Marinaro?
Dan Klecko.
Oh, he's a newer player. Played for Cornell. I think he broke the record of the guy who had it in Division III, who used to have it, and then I think a guy for Cornell broke it.
I don't know.
Either way, neither of those two have ever stepped foot on the field. So to say that he broke Jerry Rice's record is irrelevant.
Let me tell you this.
Absolutely irrelevant.
You know, and we were joking around earlier about Marcus Colston. I saw David Ball play, and he tremendously productive player. This is not trashing him, okay? I thought that Marcus Colston for Hofstra in the same league, the Atlantic 10, I should probably preface that because I know people probably don't know 1AA football very well. Marcus Colston, in my opinion, was a far superior player in that league than David Ball. Now, Colston didn't have near the production that Ball had, but UNH runs a very unconventional offense with a quarterback, in my opinion, who drives the ship. And Ricky Santos, he's a little guy, runs around and makes a ton of plays. Kind of like
BU used to have.
I was just going to say, kind of like Robert Daugherty and, you know, both poor men's versions of Doug Flutie when Flutie was at BC. The credit, I think, goes more to Santos. A lot of the receivers for UNH had a lot of production. They throw the ball 50 or 60 times in a lot of games. So there's a lot of passes to be caught. I don't see that. I don't see Ball as being quite fat. He's got good size. He's nice little player isn't a good adjective. He's about 6'3", Ball, 6'3", 6'4". He's a big, rangy guy, and in terms of stature, he's kind of reminiscent of Brian Finneran, who played at Villanova in that league. Another big, tall, Tom, I'll say it, white receiver. But that's the reason why I compare them is, you know, the size more so than anything else. I just don't see him being fast enough or quick enough to do it in the NFL. Now, I've talked to a couple of coaches in that league, and that's what they say. We'll find out. He's going to get a shot because no way they're going to ignore that production. He'll get a shot.
All right, some good A-10 football talk here. Only Paul can provide that.
Like, he broke Jerry Rice's record is so meaningless because if you look at all the record holders throughout college football, if you count all divisions, Division I guys are hardly ever at the top because they go early, they do this. And right. These guys play for 4 years, and like Paul said, they throw the ball 70 times a game. You know someone at New Hampshire next year is going to catch 100 passes?
Well,
because they just throw it so often, there's going to be another receiver. So I think you're looking at a late-round draft pick who may have the intangibles to stick around for a while, but to say he's going to be some kind of great player because he broke Jerry Rice's record.
Well, Jerry Azuma is another guy from up there. You know, great player in his context.
Play defensive back in the NFL.
But they made him a cornerback in the NFL, right. And he was a pretty good cornerback until he got hurt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a perfect example.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition. We didn't get to all the emails, but I want to thank everybody for emailing in. We'll be back next Wednesday at
especially
noon.
Tony Donato.
And maybe Andy will be back. We don't know. He may never come back. We'll see. All right, see you next week.